We could test for a cat.
Well, we can drag, why don't you drag a chair over to right outside the door? That way you can sit down.
Yeah, there's anything you want
to
sit
anyway. It's kind of ridiculous to let her in. I mean, you can hear it away.
Oh, no, they shut the door.
Oh, she still could.
Yes.
Well, I'm going to toss on this.
We'll just have you kind of stand in the back. This may take for very long. This is just an introductory. Okay. Thank you all for coming today. My name is Maureen Ward, and I'm acting as the Student Conduct Administrator for the Student Conduct Board hearing. I am acting as the chairperson for the hearing and will help to clarify any questions of policy or procedure during the hearing. I am not a voting member of the board and will not be involved in determining responsibility. Should the accused student be found in violation of any of the policies, I will help to make recommendations to the board on sanctions based on any prior sanctions the accused student may or may not have received and any similar cases that may have been reviewed by the college for consistency's sake. Before we get started, I want to remind everyone about the procedures of the hearing. This is a private meeting. Anything shared in this hearing is considered confidential information and cannot be shared outside of this room. Both the complainants and the accused student have the right to have an advisor present, which both have chosen to do. But I do remind that the complainants and the accused student are responsible for presenting their own information, and therefore advisors are not permitted to participate directly in the hearing. Only the board, the complainant, the accused student, and their advisors will be allowed to attend the entire hearing. Witnesses will be called in to provide information to the board. So we'll call you in when we need you. Time will be allotted for the complainants and the accused student to suggest questions to be answered by each other or witnesses. Should an adversarial environment arise, the questioning will be restricted to the board at their discretion. There shall be a single tape recording of the Student Conduct Board hearing, not to include deliberations. Deliberations are not recorded. The record shall be the property of the college. Once the accused student, the complainants, and their witnesses have all provided statements and the board has had their opportunity to question them, the board will go into closed session to determine responsibility and sanctions. The accused student will be notified in writing of the findings of the board within 2 business days. And because we have Friday off, I'll get it to you before close of business tomorrow via email. Okay? Is there any questions about the procedures? Okay, great. So witnesses, you may now leave the room. Please stay available in the immediate area so we can call you in when we need you. And please note that you may be called in more than once during the board's time at the meeting. Then can I borrow your charge sheet for a second?
My what sheet?
The charge sheet.
Sure.
Thank you. So just as a reminder, we are here today because Skylar Itner has been accused of violating the following policies. The first, under the Student Conduct Code, is number 2, disruption or obstruction of teaching, research, administration, disciplinary proceedings, other college activities, including public service functions on or off campus, or authorized non-college activities when the conduct occurs on college premises. Number 3 is physical abuse, verbal abuse, threats, intimidation, harassment, coercion, or other conduct which threatens or endangers the health or safety of any person. Number 8, failure to comply with directions of college officials or law enforcement officers acting in performance of their duties and or failure to identify oneself to these persons when requested to do so. Number 10 under the code, which is violation of any college policy, rule, or regulation published in hard copy or available electronically on the website. The 2 policies under number 10 that we are specifically looking at is the photograph, video, and audio recordings of students on page 33, which states that Carroll College and its representatives will take photographs, videos, and audio recordings of campus life and activities, et cetera, et cetera. If you object, it's at the end. Anyone who does not provide such notice will be. No, that's not the correct one. So I will refer back to the correct one. But the other one is postings and notices, which is bulletin boards are one of the major means of communication on campus. For this reason, some coordination and regulation is needed. Notices for Carroll-related functions may be posted on any college bulletin board. The sponsor must remove notices when they are outdated. They must be confined to public bulletin boards unless otherwise authorized. No postings are permitted on trees. The Director of Student Activities and Leadership must approve all posters, flyers, newsletters, brochures, notices, and banners, especially those of off-campus and commercial advertising. The name of the sponsoring organization shall appear on all advertisements. There is no public bulletin boards in the residence halls.
I'm looking for the video one.
I'm trying to look it up. Yeah.
It's right here. Number 17.
Thank you. So under, oh, and number 17 under the code, which states that disorderly conduct includes but is not limited to any unauthorized use of electronic or other devices to make an audio or video record of any person while on Carroll premises without his or her prior knowledge or without his or her consent when such a recording is likely to cause injury or distress. This includes but is not limited to blah, 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 blah.
Can I point out, so, I mean, I did give knowledge, every time I was recording, I did give knowledge, you know, tell everyone I was, I made it clear. And it says I only need consent when such a recording is likely to cause injury or distress.
Sure.
Which, if the college is right in what they're doing, why would it?
Well,
if it was just documenting what was going on, that shouldn't cause anyone distress.
Skylar, we need to follow the procedures. Okay, so we understand. Mm-hmm. Basically, what is up question is whether or not the video recording that you made would have caused distress. I mean, whether or not that is what, whether that was a violation of the policy or not, is what is up question. Okay, so that's what we're going to decide, but we will do that through, as we go through the various times that there was recordings made, which there was audio and video recordings made on two separate occasions, correct? So, okay. Is there any questions about, any other questions about the charges? And we'll go ahead and proceed with the hearing. So we will go ahead and start with the events that happened on January 26th, which was the original date, I believe, that the posters were found. Mm-hmm. And so we have two witnesses that can give testimony to that. Is it all right if I bring in Annette and Emily? Or I'll bring them in at a time, but...
Yeah.
Okay. What happened on January
26th? Sure. I was in my office and received a phone call from Emily asking where I was and if I could come over to Simperman. So I went over to the first floor of Simperman and walked down. I can't remember room numbers or anything, but it was down the hallway toward the Scola. And Skylar was in a room that had a keypad. It was a lab of some kind. And I knocked on the door, and he was busy working on some computer. He didn't acknowledge me. So Emily keyed me in, and then I just walked over to Skylar and asked him what was going on. And he made a few comments about, you know, he was, and again, I don't have all the right words and probably not in the right order, but the gist of it is that, you know, he was posting, he felt it was his right because of the content of the posters. He didn't think that there was anything wrong with that. I asked him to stop. He said he wouldn't. I asked if he would, you know, just encouraged him to wait so that we could have a conversation with Kathy Day on Monday and, you know, just indicated that it wasn't going to make a difference, that he was going to keep doing what he was doing. And so then I left. So it was a very short conversation.
And so what day was that exactly, you said?
That was the Friday.
Right.
Yeah, it was the 27th. Then you said
27th?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. It was the 27th. It was, yeah, Friday afternoon, 4-ish, 4:30, something like that.
Okay.
And that was the extent in my recollection.
What led you, when Emily contacted you, why did this require your intervention?
So I went over, I'm the acting vice president for student life, and so Emily called to inform me that they had determined who the person was that was putting up the posters, which we had learned about on Thursday night. And so I believe that they had been trying to talk to Skylar and get him to stop, and when he didn't, they asked me to come over.
So unauthorized posters?
Yes.
Okay.
Does the board have any other questions?
So was Skylar printing the posters when you...
No. Mm-mm. He was working on his computer, you know, packing up his equipment. So I didn't see him with the posters. You know, he wasn't doing any active posting at that point. It was just in reference to what I had been told.
And your goal at that point was to get him to stop in order to have a conversation with Kathy.
And then to have a conversation.
Can we just ask questions of Skylar? Mm-hmm. Skylar, does that fit with your memory of that interaction?
Yeah, pretty much.
Thank you. I have no idea.
Did you have any questions?
No.
Skylar, did you have any other questions?
I'm going to
Thank you, Skylar.
Thank you.
Thanks, Matt.
Board a brief overview of what happened on January 27th.
Sure. So January 27th, I received a phone call on my personal cell phone from a campus staff member who said that they had encountered Skylar hanging posters in Simperman Hall and had spoken to him. I responded to Simperman to find Skylar by the copy fax machine printer on the ground floor in the back corner. Asked him to stop printing them and attempted to have a conversation about why they could not be hung posting policy. Skylar gave his response as to why he felt they could be posted. We went back and forth for a few minutes, and then I ended up calling Annette Walstead for support. Annette responded and engaged with Skylar in one of the classrooms where he was packing up his things to leave on the ground floor as well, one of the back computer labs, I believe.
So these events actually precede Annette's intervention, what Annette
yes.
just talked about.
Okay. Yes, I Thank called you. Annette to Simperman.
And when someone contacted you about posters, what was their complaint? They complained that someone was posting posters without permission?
When we had found the posters Thursday morning, I, Friday morning, went to IT to see if we could in any way have imaging to see if we could find who had printed them. And so in that process had shown IT one of the posters that had been posted Thursday evening just to see if they could search the system for imaging so we could start that process. And so the person that contacted me worked for IT because he had seen the posters and saw them being posted again. He contacted me via one of our CAs.
Did you say that the posters were Thursday morning?
Thursday evening.
Okay, you said morning the first time.
Oh, I apologize. Thursday evening, I got the call.
It wouldn't have been morning because I'm not a morning person. I had class from 11 to 12:15, so.
Yeah, I apologize. I meant evening.
Okay. So was this after the first round of posters were removed?
Yes. So I received a call Thursday evening on the on-call phone that CAs had actually found the posters in Zimmerman.
Okay.
Asked them to take them down, put one on my desk to follow through, and then came in Friday morning. Mm-hmm. Because they didn't have anyone actively hanging them up right there, they had just been posted. I waited until Friday morning. I called Annette and followed up at that time.
Okay, I'm just trying to get it.
Yeah, you're
do you remember how many posters were hung up that first time that there were posters?
They encountered one, and I said if they saw any others, that they could remove them. But at the time, they only had one.
Okay, I know for a fact I printed off exactly three posters.
Okay.
Of this exact poster,
mm-hmm.
And then I also know for a fact that when I came in the next morning, they had been taken down and replaced with almost a dozen unauthorized posters that were, as far as I know, there was no signature on them that says "Love trumps hate."
Mm-hmm.
So, what do you have to say about those posters? Do you know anything about those?
As I did browse through Zimmerman on Friday morning, I did find those as well. I did not find any more of the posters that you had put up, so there was nothing else for me to take down. And again, followed up on those posters as well.
But why didn't you take those posters down when you went through and looked at if they were not authorized? When you shouldn't you have taken those down as well?
Because I needed to follow up to see if they were authorized, and that was the point with the posters from Thursday night as well.
Are you sure it's not like you have any kind? I mean, I've seen your Facebook page, and judging from that, you have a pretty big bias against the Catholic position on homosexuality. I can't even see most of your posts. But just from the ones I can see that you have, you have your profile page set to a gay pin, like a kind of button pin that you put on a shirt. You've had, other things. It's not exactly about this, but one time you had a big rant that kind of shows maybe how you might handle stuff like this, which is like a whole rant on, like police respect and stuff, and how you don't want to listen to anyone, any of your friends that post things criticizing the police at all, and that if they haven't been unfriended yet, they will be soon.
Skylar, can I ask you?
Is that accurate?
Are those posts on my Facebook page? Yes, they are.
So can I ask you a question about this? Because the question of the application of the policy, the policy in question by Emily, is not really relevant to your case, unless you make a larger case about bias, and I think that's what you're applying here. But I have a question for you, just to be very clear here. Did you post posters on Carol bulletin boards?
Yeah.
You said yes. Okay. Were you aware at the time of the policy prohibiting unauthorized postings?
Well, here's the thing, so I had actually in the past looked through I've done a search for the word poster in the student handbook, and I don't know if it was a technical thing or what, but nothing came up because the student handbook's pretty big. And also, here's the thing. So I'm a computer science major. I make lots of apps and things. I have a software company. And I have shamelessly promoted my apps on posters around this campus. And I think it's interesting that, some of those stayed up for months.
Okay, so.
And no one had an issue with it until it was a message that some people didn't like.
So I have a question. So is it fair to say you weren't aware of the policy?
I wasn't aware that it was completely official. I thought it might just be a thing that the people were saying, but wasn't really that enforceable.
When informed of the policy by Annette, I guess would be the first person informed of it. Did you either desist from putting up posters, or did you seek permission?
The thing with Annette is that from what I got from her conversation with me was that she was asking me to take them down, but that she wasn't actually exercising it. The way she was saying it and the way she was phrasing everything was not. It made me think that she was not doing it out of authority from the college. Doing it because she didn't like it.
Okay.
What gave you that impression? I'm sorry.
Just general wording and how she phrased it and what exactly the wording and stuff she used. It just gave me that impression. She never said. She asked me to take it up. She never said, the college doesn't want you to have those posters up. And she phrased it like it was. She had a personal offense at the posters. She was like, hey, stop doing this, I don't think it's cool. That's kind of what I got from that.
So your impression is that the college officials were more concerned with the content of the posters rather than the act of
posting. I never got the impression that the college was telling me to stop putting up posters until I got a signed letter saying that the following Monday. at which point I did stop hanging up posters. But until then, it seemed to me it was just people that didn't like my posters, which, I mean, lots of people don't like lots of things. It just seemed like they're just telling me to take them down because they didn't like them. They never invoked any kind of authority from the college. It sounded like, honestly, they're just kind of being stuck up and, you know, full of themselves a little bit. I mean, for lack of, like, a better way to put that.
But, Skylar, and that's, when Annette came in and spoke before, she specifically said that she addressed the issue of unauthorized posters.
Yeah.
And that was what prompted her to come intervene, which would suggest to me that she was actually acting pursuant to the policy.
Well, she never
accepting your testimony as what you said, but that was her testimony here, to which you did not object.
Yeah, well, I don't think it's submitted as evidence, so it was in a different... I found it this morning when I was looking through some other stuff.
Do you see my point?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, I do have a partial, I believe it's a partial recording from that evening, on the 27th. I don't exactly know what's on it or how complete it is. I didn't find any candidates with evidence. I found it this morning when I was going through some other stuff to prepare. I had found it in a folder I hadn't looked in for other stuff previously.
So this is the conversation with Annette that you recorded partially?
Yeah, I believe it's partially recording of that.
Okay.
Can I ask a question? If you didn't have some, and I'm not trying to be antagonistic, please understand that. If you didn't have some sense that what you were doing was maybe at least questionable, I'm not going to say wrong, but at least questionable, why record everybody all the time?
Because I've had past dealings with the college. Basically, just give a quick overview. I was in a digital photography class, and one of the assignments was to go out into public. There's two assignments involved. There's going out into the public and just taking pictures of things in public. I chose a playground, there's behind the library, Lindenburg Library. It's a nice playground. I was taking pictures of not even people, just like objects and things. And there was a Head Start affiliated daycare, I guess, there. And they decided that I was violating their private policy by taking pictures in a public park. They had no authority over that, and I told them as much. And eventually, it came to the point where they called the police on me. The police were like, "Yeah, you're free to go. They're being stupid." and then out of good faith. And because there's a very silly rule that the college has where you have to identify yourself to police all the time, I gave my ID to the police, and somehow they ended up giving my name to people at the daycare, and then they leaked it to the parents, and the parents started harassing me on Facebook, and also apparently contacted the college, and because there's some affiliation between Head Start and the nursing program at the college, they decided to drag me in, and they sanctioned me with some punishments for... like harassment and stalking, because I was trying to complete that assignment. So understandably, that's kind of where I went. I appealed that, and the appeal was rejected for really without saying anything else. That's why I went into this recording things, because I didn't want to get thrown under any kind of buses for people I didn't want to be my word against theirs. I wanted there to be actual records of everything.
Okay.
Thank you.
Can I ask a question? Skylar, have you ever posted posters on campus previous to these where you did obtain permission?
Yeah, some of them I did obtain permission for, after looking and obtaining permission, I was like, you know what? They don't actually care about what's on these. At one point there were advertisements in the napkin holders in the stack. And I did get permission for those because I didn't know how to open them to put their things in. But I did give them, and they even gave me, like, here's the dimensions for these, size and whatever. I did talk to Patrick Harris a couple times about other posters. But it seemed like no one really even cared. If it was an official policy, it wasn't even really enforced. I mean, at one point, here's how Don enforced it was. At one point, I had a banner about 4 feet by 2 feet hung up on the wall in Semperman Hall, and it stayed up until the janitor cleaned the building completely out during break.
There's a difference between not being aware of the policy and believing that the policy is only...
I was kind of led to believe that the policy wasn't really enforced or even wasn't written down really anywhere. I think there's a bulletin board in the basement of this building that says all posters on this board must be approved.
Okay.
And so I think I got one approved.
Some lack of clarity, but you had sought permission.
Yeah, yeah. And for what it's worth, the bulletin board I did the most postings on in Simperman says public postings, and that none of the other bulletin boards on campus, as far as I know, say that. So I was led to believe that, well, that's just stuff for the general public to put stuff on, you know, like it's not, like maybe it's exempt from the other ones, because otherwise they, none of them would say public posting. You know, or all of them would. I mean, it's kind of, I don't know. Well, I think a lot of the rules and everything the college does is are vague, partially so they can just, you know, have an excuse to catch people and make them, get them to go away if they don't like them. So that's just my opinion, though.
Thank you, Scott.
Does the board have any other questions for Emily regarding the 27th? Or Skylar or Kathy?
From the moment that Annette responded, you didn't engage.
I followed behind Annette, but I allowed her to handle the situation okay. from that moment forward.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we're going to the 30th, so just stay handy. Okay. If I remember right, when she confronted me in front of the copier, there was another person there. It may have been a student or just I don't know. He was younger. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So is he in here?
He's not available. Okay. He's out of town right now.
All right. So it was just something to note then that he was, he was there and he asked me like my motivation for the posters and things. And after hearing what I had to say, he was like, "Well, I'm not really going to do anything about it. I don't really see a problem with it." Like just for what it's worth, I mean, he didn't seem to like mind all that much after I explained, you know, that like my reasoning behind him. That's what the Catholic Church teaches, and that I'm kind of just sick of being harassed and stuff for my beliefs on this campus for 3.5 years. It was just kind of something to note, since he's not here, I better just throw that out there.
Is there anything else that you guys have questions about the
27th? Will I be allowed to speak about what happened on the 27th?
Oh, were you involved in the 27th?
Not with Skylar, but subsequent to that.
Subsequent to what?
Subsequent to the conversations with Skylar, they came to my office.
Oh.
And why on the 27th? On the 27th. Yes.
So maybe we should hear about that before we move on then.
Okay.
Yeah.
On the 27th, I had been in meetings all day and had not seen my emails. And I actually was at a late gathering in the registrar's office for a birthday celebration for one of the staff members. And Annette and Emily came and asked if they could speak with me for a few moments about a student issue. And so I went to my office, and they basically reported to me the events that you just heard about, and they said that they were concerned because there had actually been an incident report from another student apparently given to Emily. And I opened my email, and there were several emails that I had received. I believe I entered one from Dr. Glowinka into evidence, but from faculty and a student saying that the posters were on campus, they were feeling very unsafe and uncomfortable. They were concerned about them. Was there permission to post them, and could they take them down? I also had one of the faculty email me wanting to put up counter posters and to put things on Facebook to counter the messaging that she was uncomfortable with. I called her on the phone, and I asked her not to do it. I said, "You don't have permission, and I don't want to escalate this situation at all. And so I'm asking you to refrain." We then spoke, and it was at that time that I said that I felt that I didn't know if Skylar had official notification or understood the policy, and that we needed to officially notify him. And we made plans with his schedule that I would do that on Monday,
on
the 30th.
Monday the 30th.
It was okay. About 6 o'clock on Friday night.
Okay. And have you ever... I mean, you're the ABPA, so it's kind of a weird position, but do you typically, or have you ever even received a complaint about a non-authorized poster?
No, I have not.
Okay. That's clear enough. I don't have any follow-ups to that, do you?
I just want to say that Stephen's not here to... to offer his perspective. Mm-hmm. So I thank you for yours, but please understand we have to keep in mind that Stephen's not here.
Yeah. I know. It's just, that's just what something he was, I remember it pretty clearly, so.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because he asked me and told me, like, okay.
Stephen's the admissions counselor, is that right?
That's correct.
I mean,
Yeah. He seemed to see the legitimacy of the message.
I understand. He doesn't. He acts with the college in an official capacity in a completely different way.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he was there, so he's acting kind of
as a witness for sure. Yeah, as a witness for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, thank you. That's good. I have no other questions at this point from anybody.
Well, we will go ahead and move to the 30th then. I think we'll probably start with statements from the plans and the Q student, and then we'll bring in the witnesses.
We'll try and talk chronologically, but I'll take the lead on my statement about this, and then Nina will need to contribute her role. But as I said, I had checked Skylar's class schedule and identified a class where I could go at the end of the class and ask him if we could have a conversation and to talk about. Talk about the concerns that have come to me and just deliver the letter, which I believe is in your packet, mm-hmm. just telling him what the official policy of the college is. I had decided to ask Nina to come with me because I was concerned about reports I had received through the incident reports of Skylar being rather combative and argumentative, and I wanted to make sure that it was a safe place. There was a witness for me and for Skylar. We walked over to Semperman Hall. It was about 4:40. I believe it was emotional intelligence class that I was going to ask to meet him after. And Skylar, we walked over. And Skylar was sitting in the lobby on the second floor. It's the floor, the main entrance that you come into from St. Charles. And he was working on his computer. I was surprised to see him there, but went up to him and said, "Hello, Skylar, and I'd like to talk to you about something, and I can't remember exactly. I have watched the video, but he indicated at that time that he was going to be recording our conversation. I indicated I was not comfortable with that, and he did not have my permission to do so, but I understood that he was doing it. I then proceeded to tell him that I was there because I had received complaints about what were called derogatory or uncomfortable posters being posted, and that he had not received permission and was asking him to comply with the college's policy. And I believe I did hear this in the video that I said, even if you're not aware, I want to make sure that you're aware of this. He did not want to take the letter at first. One of the things you don't see in the video is I said, "Please, Skylar, you need to take this letter. I'm here to tell you this." Nina had introduced herself at that time. He finally grabbed the letter from me, crumpled it up, and shoved it into his backpack.
What time was this? I might have missed it.
About 4:40.
It was 4:40. Oh, it wasn't room 4:40. It was 4:40. Okay,
yeah,
thank you.
Yeah, about 4:40, 4:45, okay. if I believe that's in my recording.
Okay.
So we talked for a little bit, and since I have a full report, which I believe, Skylar, you've seen my recollection of the incident, as well as I have seen the video, so I won't go through every incident with the video. But I will say that never did I engage in any conversations about whether or not I supported the messages on the poster. I was responding to concerns I had heard in my capacity. So we finished that conversation probably about 10 minutes in, and Nina, right in front of Skylar, was a bulletin board with two of the posters very securely posted up. And so as I was talking to Skylar, Nina then proceeded down the stairs to remove the poster, and then Skylar came after her and I, saying, "This is my property. You don't have permission to take it down." And started saying that he was videotaping.
I didn't say you didn't have permission to take it down. I said you didn't have permission to take it.
Okay.
So I was fine with you taking it down.
Skylar, we need to be able to let her give her statement, and then you'll have an opportunity to give your statement as well. Mm-hmm. So you can write it down and make sure that you note it when you give your statement if there's anything that you disagree with. Okay.
At that time, Skylar indicated that he was recording the interaction between us, and I said, "You do not have my permission to record us." I was very strong about that. You know, I'm not comfortable. You do not have permission. But he continued to do so anyway. and started reaching and grabbing for Nina. She took, saying, "I'm going to take it back," and citing Montana Code. And he, Nina just very quietly took the posters down and started, you may have said, I can't remember everything verbatim, but, you know, please don't grab at me, but started walking down the stairs. I was ahead of her at that time because we were going to look to see if there were other posters posted on campus. And as we walked down the stairs, I was ahead of her. And you don't see all of this very clearly in the video, and that's why I want to point this out. Skylar became increasingly agitated and getting closer and closer to Nina, came around in front of her, backed her up against the stairs, grabbing over her, trying to grab the posters. I became very concerned that this was going to escalate and end badly. I, in fact, asked Nina to please hand the posters to him because I was concerned about what was happening, and she refused to do so. And I entertained for a very short moment the thought of going and grabbing Skylar by the shoulders and saying, please stop this. And I realized that that may explode. And so I went and I called security. At the time, I called Annette, actually, because I didn't have the security number program in my phone. I was quite rattled. I called Annette. And I asked Annette if she could please have security come over to the building. And then Nina and I proceeded, and you see this in the video, walking up and down the halls, trying to make sure that there were no posters. We came back upstairs. And one thing I forgot to say, at the very beginning, I tried to say, can we have this conversation in a classroom to protect your privacy? And Skylar refused to do so. But we came back upstairs, and he just kept saying, give me back my property, give me back my property, I'm going to get it from you, grabbing it, Nina, and, you know, you can't do that, and physically going towards Nina. Dr. Glowinka came out of her office at the time, saw the interaction. Patty White, for some reason, was there. I honestly don't know how she got there, but she was there, and I was very concerned about the interaction, and he, I'm not... Yeah, it was, I think, before Emily showed up. Dr. Heiser was also in her room with a student. She has been asked to give her perception of what happened. Skylar just kept saying, give me my property or else. And it was at that time that I said, I think we both did, is that a threat? Are you threatening us? And we stepped in. You'll see we go in and out of the video. It's not a clear recording. And then Emily arrived. And I said, Nina said, do not touch me, and I said, do not touch her. And then Emily arrived and pretty much took over much of the conversation. Although as we were waiting for the police, I did ask Skylar to please, let's please put your things away. You know, let's not let this escalate anymore. Please consider just taking your things and going home. And
Can I ask a question about this? So, your primary goal was to deliver to Skylar a letter informing him of the policy.
Mm-hmm.
You also spent, or related to that sort of interaction you had with him, you also began to take down the posters.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
I actually didn't.
Nina did.
Yes, Nina.
And why? Okay, so maybe Kevin can.
In fact, I was talking to Skylar, and one thing I think is important, too, and Nina can talk about this, too, but he actually indicated to us then and later that he was there waiting to see who was going to take the posters down.
Yeah, that's in the video.
Yeah,
that's clear.
Yeah.
But can I ask a question? Mm-hmm. In all of this, you were clear to Skylar that students had expressed concern, mm-hmm. and that you were there to give him a letter and all of these things, not... You weren't inserting your personal...
Absolutely not.
Right.
Absolutely.
Okay. I just want to be...
I never discussed...
The content.
Whether I agree or disagree with the content of the posters.
Right. But you did express that it made students uncomfortable.
Yes, and faculty. I did indicate that he would have a chance to talk about that because he would be hearing from Renee McMahon.
Okay.
Because of the emails that had gone to her. But that's
right.
all I said. I did not...
Right. No, I just want to be...
Nina maybe can respond. Since Nina comes originally as... someone to come with you because mm-hmm. of your worries about that Skylar's interaction with Skylar had resulted in sort of combative verbal mm-hmm. you know, exchanges. But once you present the letter, you also begin taking down all the posters.
Nina begins taking down all the posters
in the building pursuant to the policy. Can you explain why those two actions, the presenting of the policy and the taking down of the posters, occurred at the same time?
You know, and it might be that's to let, I know what you're saying. I did not actually go over there to take down posters. Right. I went over there to inform Skylar. I didn't know that posters were even up on the board. Right. While I was talking, Nina saw that, and then I was following Nina, partly because of what was happening.
That's fine. And I'll be clear. I mean, I understand that at this point, everyone who's involved knows that the poster is in violation of the policy and is an agent of the institution. Is that what you were acting as?
I mean, yes, I'm an administrator, and I saw something in violation of policy, and so I took an appropriate response, which in this case was to remove the two posters.
I have a couple of questions. So you said that, you know, you said that you told me that you didn't want me to, like, touch you guys or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Because from my point of view, I was trying to grab the posters, I was trying to avoid touching you. If I wasn't trying to avoid touching you, I would have gotten the posters. but I wasn't able to because I was aiming. I was just trying to take the posters after, you know, giving warnings. Like, do you have? Didn't I make that clear at all?
No, Skylar.
I remember saying that I didn't want to touch you.
I have a bunch of questions about this, actually. Yeah. Maybe I can ask them. Is that all right? Would that be maybe more appropriate?
Okay.
I want to ask you, actually, for your perception of it, because Nina hasn't actually talked yet. You're going to talk about the same events. Is that right? So maybe we should let Nina offer her testimony, and then I have a bunch of questions that relate, actually, to those interactions.
Okay.
Does that make sense? Is that okay? Is that okay as an interjection?
Right.
So
sure.
Maybe Nina can offer her counsel.
So I can acknowledge everything that Kathy Day has shared here. From my own personal vantage point, yes. So we made the attempt to make the delivery of the letter. Skylar took the letter eventually, tried to have that conversation, and in all sincerity, as we're having this conversation, I do notice the two posters posted in violation of policy. So yes. As an administrator, I felt it appropriate to take action and not to allow something stand that was contrary to the posting policy. So I did remove those two posters. As Kathy shared, as I was removing the posters, I wasn't necessarily aware until Skylar was behind me of his interest in obtaining the posters back. And so he expressed his strong desire and concern about having those two posters given back to him because they were his personal property. And at that time, my concern was they'll just potentially find themselves posted elsewhere. And so I felt since they were contrary to policy, I removed them. I confiscated them. I thought that would be the end of it in terms of just, you know, the posters. But it was clear that he wanted them back. In terms of my behavior, I said very little. I attempted to walk away where I could. I do recall at one point in time Skylar warning me. I think that's when I became very concerned when he used the word, "I'm warning you." And that's when Kathy interjected, "Is that a threat?"
Mm-hmm.
And so Skylar indicated, "No, those are your words, not mine," something to that effect. Proceeded to walk around Simperman for two purposes in my mind, really. One was to see, are there other posters I need to pull down? Because they are contrary to the posting policy, and also simply to, in part, remove myself. So I was walking away, but also being followed. So clearly an attempt to disengage and remove myself wasn't working. And so that was my motivation.
Well, by walking away, you're disengaging, but really you're seeking to carry out your duties as a college administrator.
Correct.
I have some questions about, do you have anything else about that interaction? other than to add to what Kathy says here?
I'm trying to see what else I could add. You know, initially, you know, the interaction went from being an uncomfortable one initially when Skylar wouldn't take the letter from Kathy to one of really feeling anxious. Prior to that day, I'd never met Skylar, so I don't know who this young student is, this young man. There was anxiety, a bit of trepidation, and as things seemed to escalate, even though I was trying to back away, walk away, remove myself, with Kathy by my side, I guess in some ways a bit of fear, absolutely. I think just because when you're interacting with someone that you don't really know, but there was such, he came across so strong and adamant in his need to acquire the posters back. And I just felt that it was inappropriate, and no, I did not want to give those back to him.
Do you feel threatened?
Towards the latter part of the interaction, yes. And I guess twofold. There was a level of discomfort, one because of what was transpiring, and the other was the fact that it was all being recorded and videotaped. And, you know, I certainly stand by the limited conversation I had and my actions, but nonetheless, it was very uncomfortable. It felt threatening towards the end of that interaction.
And the videotaping added to some feeling of distress.
I would say the discomfort, the anxiety, the distress, yes.
Do you guys have any questions? I have questions of Skylar, but I don't...
Well, I do too, but you go ahead, because you might have the same ones.
Okay. So, Skylar, first, I think you've acknowledged this, but you attempted to grab the posters from Nina's hands?
After asking many times nicely, yes.
Did you ever at any point grab Nina?
No, I tried to grab the posters, but she dodged.
Did you ever come into contact with her?
I don't recall ever physically coming, other than like maybe a gentle arm brush as we passed each other. There was a point where there was, you know, a little bit of narrow hallway space at one point.
And at that point, narrow hallway space or the stairwell, or whatever that
it
was?
It would have been like just a sleeve brush, if anything.
Now, both Nina and Kathy refer to that exchange in the video where you say something like, this is your final warning, give me my property or else, and then they say, is that a threat? And you clarify, saying, no, I just want my property back, and that means I'm going to take my property, right?
Yeah, at that point, yeah. I was just kind of fed up because, you know, I mean, you know, like, Nina had been asked, you know, to give them back, and after she did say something about, you know, mentioned that I might put them back up, I think I pointed out, I might be remembering a bit wrong, but I remember saying something like this, where... the posters weren't in good condition at that point. I mean, I had secured them to the wall really, really well to that board. Mm-hmm. I had brought a roll of tape. I was actually going to brought it. I brought a roll of tape and, like, used half a dozen thumbtacks in each one. So they were pretty mangled by the time they got into her hand. I also had a whole bag full of them there. They knew that because at the beginning of the encounter, they did try to, like, confiscate those, I guess, until I made it clear that they were mine and I never hung them up and they were printed at home. On my own printer with my own paper. I don't think there really was a good reason for her to not give them back to me. If her concern was I'd hang them back up, I mean, I could have hung up other posters if I wanted to. It wouldn't have made a difference.
I have a question. So they both referred to this incident or this statement that you made about giving me or else, and they asked for the threat, and you sought to clarify it by suggesting you just wanted your property back. Mm-hmm. But about 5 minutes before that, you said that, don't you think... In the first part's a paraphrasing of what you wrote, what you said, but don't you think in defense of my property that you, quote, had the right to use a little bit of force?
Well, yeah, like grab something out of someone's hand. I mean, also, I like when there is a point in the video.
So what did you, can you please, my question about that statement that you made is, can you please clarify what you intended by that statement?
Well, I was just relieved. I mean, I wasn't trying to be threatening. I get realize at this point, I was just kind of fed up and angry. I was saying, well, I was kind of a little bit trying to, like, just make them kind of, like, think, well, maybe we should just give them to him so everything will end. Like, I was ready to go home.
Can you please clarify that statement? At that point, you were thinking to yourself that maybe I can make them just give them to him? By what mechanism?
Yeah.
I just wanted him to hand them to me, and I wanted him to, you know, consider that, well, maybe I'll just grab them from them. I mean, I felt I made it very clear that I didn't want to hurt them, and so any kind of, indication otherwise would be superseded by the fact I was telling them directly, I don't want to hurt you.
Then why not just let it go?
Because I'm really stubborn sometimes, honestly. But why? Okay. I mean, real question for you: Why didn't she really give them back when Kathy said you should? I mean, you were talking about me being stubborn. You know.
Well, I would suggest two things: that Kathy, by her own account, I believe said that she interested in giving them back just to de-escalate the situation. That she in no way conceded that giving them back would be in accordance with any kind of policy or any kind of alleged property right, because at many points you claim that you're property.
Yeah, I did never, like, first word, I did, you know, I have, like, read, you know, laws and stuff on this, I'm not a lawyer, but they, like, it seems to me that it's implied that if, you know, you put something in bulletin board, it's, you know, abandoned property or whatever, but if you're still, like, sitting there next to it, and you'd make it clear that you don't, I mean, that seems like that's, you know, counteracting that implied by explicit, you know, instructions.
Oh. We're not, thankfully, none of us are lawyers except for Amy. but I understand the point, but that's actually neither here nor there. And that, do you understand? So my bottom line question is this. Did you consider any of your actions an exercise of force?
No.
And, no. Or a threat of force?
I mean, I guess I could see how they might see it as a threat, but only if they don't take into account the other things I was saying and doing at the time.
The overall context.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, if they took it out of context, yeah.
Okay.
But I think a lot of it's been happening with this. So.
But I want to be clear that, Nina, you very much did see it as a threat. You did feel threatened.
I did.
Okay.
And given the very same context that Skylar is referencing.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Okay, that's, yeah.
Yeah, and we do, so, we have received word that someone we're thinking you, Amia, told people outside of Carol that you feared for your life, like maybe on Facebook. We received word that there's been
I have never mentioned anything on Facebook or email regarding.
Okay, or like to anyone else outside of the college, because there's apparently, I mean, I'm not party to it because, you know, I'm privy to it because, you know, I'm not friends with any of the people talking about this for, I don't know, kind of obvious reasons, I guess, if you think about it. I'm not really friends with anyone except I know who know really in real life. But we received word from someone else who, basically, a friend of the family was contacted by someone else who didn't know that this person, you know, was a family friend about me, like via Facebook, saying that someone at Carol, and we're thinking it's you, we're not really anyone else could be, like, say, we're fearing for your life, and, you know, that I'm a terrible person, and there's also, I think, been rumors that I've acted out at church. Like, do you know anything about any of that?
I have no idea what you're talking about. I put no comment on Facebook. I have not put any comment on social media. In fact, my interest is in the complete opposite. And I'm concerned with what's already out there. Due to your posting of various videos and other recordings, but no.
The kind of disclosure you're describing would be a very serious FERPA.
I know, and that's why I'm concerned about it. I mean, my website wasn't exactly made public. Like, really, I was out there, but I didn't actively start talking about it online or promoting it until after I heard these rumors. So, I mean, I think the only people that really saw it until then were close family friends and people at the college.
But you know how
and I have, I have analytics from the site that I can use to back that up. Or
this doesn't appear relevant.
It doesn't seem that that's relevant to what we're talking about here.
I think it's relevant to the whole thing.
Let's move on.
Okay. Did you talk to anyone outside the college about this?
No, I did not.
No? Okay.
And nor did I do any social media postings whatsoever.
Not even like a phone call or anything?
A phone call?
A phone call about what? A phone call about what, Skylar?
That's what
Skylar's asking if she's disclosed.
I know I can't talk today.
No, sorry.
Just clarify it to me.
I know what Skylar's question is. Skylar's asking whether Nina or anybody else disclosed information about this case to anybody outside of Carol outside the FERPA protection. Okay, so and Nina's Skylar, answer has been very clearly
can
no.
I tell him?
You can talk to him, but it's not part of the record.
Beth Reese got the phone call last week on Friday. Actually, her husband, John Reese, got a phone call from a parishioner at the cathedral saying that he's been talking to someone at Carol who feared for her life in her interaction with you.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about. He also, in addition to that, said that things have been on Facebook. And this was before you went to Facebook. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I just wanted to...
Okay. Glad that clears that up.
That's what happened.
Okay. Some of the rules for these kinds of things are kind of silly like that.
That's not also what we're here to...
Yeah, I know. It's just kind of funny.
Well, while there's a witness, it's a good question.
Yeah.
Could I ask, I'd like to ask a question and I'd like to respond to the question you initially mm-hmm. asked me. The question I'd like to ask is, Skylar, you did send two emails to campus and you linked everybody who got those emails to your Facebook, and you did that very... Your website. So when, did you do that?
I sent out emails to some people at the college, individual emails to them, and I did talk about this situation.
Okay. Secondly, you did ask me if I thought you intended to hurt us. If you wanted to rephrase.
Did you get the feeling that I was did I express to you in your view that I wanted to hurt you?
You never said you wanted to hurt me, but the way you were acting towards Nina gave me great concern. I was beginning to be fearful that you were going to hurt her, and at one time I even stepped in front of you. I was going to cite when you said I justified using force, and when you came towards Nina, and I believe there were two times, and I believe Dr. Galinka saw these. I stepped in front of Nina when you said, you know, this is your last chance, give those to me or else. And I stepped in front, and then I know that Grant, the security officer, who is, I believe, not here on the video, also stepped in front. So, no, you never said that you intended to hurt me, but your actions were making me, I was very afraid that something was going to happen and you were going to hurt someone. It was very threatening.
Maybe we can do that, kind of like clear this up and make sure everyone's on exactly the same page, because I don't think we have some differing like views of this. Maybe we should just watch the video together right now. Did that
we've all
good?
Seen
the
video.
I've seen it.
Well, we haven't, like, I think if we watch it together, I have notes on it and stuff. We can, there's some things I would like to point out in that video. I think it would just be good if everyone watches it once. That way we're kind of all in the room at the same time. It kind of makes it better, you know?
I understand the argument, but I think it's more appropriate that if you have a statement to make about mm-hmm. the video or about this event, that you just detail to us the key points that you'd like us to consider.
Well, I mean, it's kind of hard to do that without referring to the video on screen at the time.
I don't want to speak for my colleagues. I watched the video last night.
I watched it. I watched it several times. I actually watched it three times last night.
With considerable care. So.
Yeah.
And I did it with the aid of your descriptive summary of it, or your highlights. So I've already seen. Does that make sense? I'm not going to claim I saw through your eyes, but I saw your account of it.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
I have one more clarification question. If you, Skylar, you indicated something about a bag. You pointed out your bag was full of posters, and we tried to confiscate that. I'm not.
Wasn't on the video because the camera was, facing down on the bench. But I tried to show you guys the posters, kind of right in the beginning, look, this is what it's Catholic teaching. It's quoted, and at one point, I kind of showed you the posters, and I think you took that as like I was giving them to you. You took them, and I was like, can you please give those back? And you didn't right away until I said clarified that they were mine. And then
I don't believe that happened. My recollection, I don't recall that at all. I need to go on record for that.
Okay.
That's one of the things I think we should watch the video and clear stuff like that up.
I would decline that invitation. Just because I watched it last night with your annotated version. But I understand your proposal fully. Just maybe in the interest of time, I'd rather hear from more witnesses. I don't have any other questions of me or Kathy related to this day.
No.
And I don't have any questions of Skylar related to those events either.
I don't have any more questions either. Before we bring in the witnesses, was there anything else you wanted to add about the interaction between you and Nina and Kathy?
When Nina was going through the building looking for unauthorized posters, were you looking for or notice any unauthorized posters that weren't mine? I mean, if you're looking through for posters, you surely weren't just looking for my posters, you're looking for any authorized posters. Otherwise, that would seem to be bias.
What I was seeking to do, two things. One, walk away. And in so doing, yes, given that my interaction had to do with this particular posting violation, those would be the ones that I could most readily understand. So no, I did not do a full sweep of Simperman Hall looking at each and every poster, because that was not the concern at this point. The concern was we had delivered a letter regarding the posting of unauthorized materials. So those were the materials that I was looking for. But again, my motivation was twofold. One, walking away, because at the time I didn't have a full understanding that you would continue to follow us. And two, while doing so, yes, looking specifically for posters most likely having been posted by you, because I knew absolutely they were unauthorized. I wouldn't necessarily have a clear understanding of other posters in Semperman on that day.
Right, and then it was kind of given, like, everything. You're like, the fact I had other posters in my bag, the fact that, those posters were kind of ripped, like, what exactly is the reason you didn't give them back to me? Because I'm just kind of, because that's kind of where this whole interaction on 3D is kind of centers around. You didn't give me the posters back. I would have left if you had. So what exactly was your reason? I mean, it doesn't seem like just scared that I'd put them up again. That doesn't seem like a reason to not give them back, seeing as I had other ones I could post. What exactly was that reasoning behind not giving them to me when I asked many times?
They were unauthorized, and I felt it was appropriate as a college administrator to take them down and to confiscate them.
Are you aware that the college confiscation policy only explicitly says illegal items, like things like drugs or alcohol, underage alcohol and stuff? It doesn't say just things that are against the little paragraph in the policy.
Let's change the word of confiscation to removal.
Okay, because there's a confiscation policy, and that seems like, I agree that you're within your rights as a college administrator to take the posters down, but at that point, I think you should have given them back to me, unless you were actually confiscating them under the confiscation policy. But I don't think there's another policy that really applies, except as far as taking them down.
Skylar, as you've already indicated, those once you do a bulletin board and just anywhere, it's a public space, or it's governed by whoever owns the property on which the bulletin board is. So when we put up posters at the library, they don't go around calling people to return posters. Now, the college could, if it chose, return that to you, but I don't see any reason why the college is obligated to return things that you put on a public posting.
Well, because it's like leaving if I left a stack of posters on a bench or something in plain view, would they have the right to come? If I just walked away for a minute and stuff, would they have the right to take those? I mean, it's a kind of...
much less clearly so, but if you left them for long enough, the janitor could certainly...
Yeah, well, this stuff wasn't left for a minute. I was standing there, sitting there next to them, because I was curious.
They were on the bulletin board, is that right?
Yes, very, very well secured. I made an attempt to keep them from being taken off, and I made it very clear left the area.
Skylar, I'll be very clear. Based on my reading of the policy and my understanding of the way this works, there's, once you put that on that poster, it's not yours.
And I will, just as a clarification on the policy for you, Skylar, you're right, it does say illegal items in the policy, but it says, including but not limited to weapons, explosives, drugs, drug paraphernalia, hookahs, pipes, e-cigarettes, vaporizers, hoverboards, alcohol, kegs, etc. So obviously some of the things listed in that list are not illegal per state law. They're illegal per our policy, so they're against our policy.
And so the intent of the confiscation policy is, and as it is commonly used, is we use it when there's things that are against our policy that we remove and often hold, at least for evidence. And oftentimes we will hold them until a hearing is conducted, and then if it is found there's no violation, it is returned. So, for example, in the residence halls, if someone's found with a candle, that's not against the law, but it's confiscated until we hold a hearing, and then if we find they were in violation of the proper of the policy, oftentimes it's not returned. If they weren't in violation, oftentimes we will return that
property. So would I be getting the posters back then after this if it's ruled that I didn't do anything wrong?
Well, we have
the college's discretion.
Yes, at the college's discretion.
Yeah. And also that, I mean, really like going on the, like the spirit of the policy there and not like exactly the letter. I mean, all those things that you listed, I mean, they're things that could potentially be dangerous, which a piece of paper other than, you know, getting a paper cut wouldn't be. So, I mean, it's kind of, it seems kind of like a, it's one of those, like, I think there's lots of college policies that are kind of a bit vague on purpose. They don't, just so the college can, you know, kind of make it say whatever they want. I just think that's kind of, it's one of those things where it doesn't really seem, like, kind of altogether right, you know, to have that, kind of have it interpreted like that.
Well, and I think it is difficult, and I think that's something that, you know, again, it sounds like you have a couple different avenues of discourse here. The conduct process is probably not the most appropriate for you to bear the grievance of the things that you don't agree with, and I know you've been opened up to speak with Renee McMahon, and that side of the house is probably a bit more on some of your grievances. Mm-hmm. You know, and I would also say, too, when we're considering college policy, we obviously can't account for every single discrepancy.
If the policy is vague enough that, you know, vague for, so the college can change it, how are they, I mean, if the policies are a bit vague, then how am I supposed to know if I'm really following them or not? If the college can change how it means, it's obvious that, you know,
well, and I think, too, the public posting policy is very clear.
Well, I know, but there are, like, other policies involved in this, too. It's just, if they're vague, I mean, the college can say, oh, I'm violating it, but if I'm not able to really know for sure that I am violating it beforehand, where does that put the whole disciplinary process?
Okay. Well, and I think, you know, we're looking at specifically the five, you know, the five different policies that you are being brought under today. And so I think if there's specific questions you have, I can be happy to try to address them, just like I just tried to do with this specific one. But outside of that, just the general context of you feeling that the entire thing is vague, if we can get to an opportunity after this hearing, maybe you and I can have a discussion about where your concerns lie, or you can discuss that with Renee in your other opportunities. But I think in the interest of the fact that it's 10 after 12 and we still have several witnesses, I think we really need to try to stick to getting your hearing conducted today.
Yeah.
I would agree.
And a short bathroom break as well.
Okay. So let's go ahead and take a quick break, and then we'll bring in the witnesses for the 30th.
So all the charges, I know you already went over them, but they're all just in that Article 5, right, the expectations between conduct?
Yes, and the only thing was just under the Article 10 was that specific, so it says any campus policy. The only specific policy that's in there that we're referencing is the postings and notices.
Okay,
because
that whole Article V there. But then what's the, because I guess we're just clearing this up, because there are these, the original thing I got saying that, like, with the thing I suspended and stuff, it also has some other things.
The harassment, the non-discrimination, and the hater bias incidents, those have all been moved to the EO process.
Okay, so I wasn't notified that they were moved. I was told that the charges you talked about at the meeting were added to these.
So you received two different communications. You received one on the 1st of February that included four different things. And then you received a second one on the 13th of February that included the five that I listed at the beginning of this meeting.
Yeah, no, I was
those
told
original
that those,
four had been modified basically as of the 13th. So
I was told the original four, like I was told that the new ones, I'd asked for clarification, I was told that they were additional charges.
Okay. So the clarification on that is that
those are the five charges we're considering.
Okay, because that's not the clarification I got when I asked for clarification.
I have a question on procedure for you that may not be appropriate to ask in front of, but can I speak to you very briefly?
Password.
And perhaps it's not worked.
Yeah, it's all Skylar 11. Also, it's just it's using Puty. I already got a text today for the 75% after like right after I started tethering.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I haven't gotten that.
I think it's 75. I didn't check to see what it was. I saw it was a note, you know, one of those, you know,
so when do you get to bring this up? Like, I just.
Yeah, I don't know. Also, so apparently those, you know, these, they were like, you know, they said they were having additional charges.
Mm-hmm.
And I just asked her, and then apparently the original charges aren't, like, it's not additional. These are not the only charges, and the other charges were moved to the Equal Opportunity Investigation. Like, even though I was told they were additional.
Additional charges, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, for Pete's sake.
Yeah, apparently they aren't, and I just wasn't notified. I wasn't notified of that.
No, you were notified
but
they were additional charges.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to bring that email up right now. Additional. By date.
Well, and the business day calendar day thing, without notifying us of an extension. It's really frustrating.
Yeah, we should bring that up.
Kathy and Nina, just in the interest of having the most familiarity with the situation and being your witnesses, do you have an order preference?
I do.
Yes.
I did put together, and Nina, I don't know, I didn't run these by you, but
no,
I felt that actually the next three, and then you could probably let them go, who could just testify to close up what happened on the 30th, would be Jennifer Glowinka, Patty White, and Patricia Heiser.
Yes.
Emily was also there, and that's whether or not you want to call her back for that, I don't know. And Grant, I understand, cannot be here.
He can't. He did submit an email this morning that
okay.
I can read if the board would like his statement.
I would appreciate it if you would read that since I haven't seen it. Please.
I'll start with Jen.
Okay.
So if you just want to give us a quick summary of what you witnessed on January 30th in context to the situation, and then the board will have an opportunity to ask you some questions.
Okay. I heard this in the interaction occurred outside of my office, and so when Kathy and Ina showed up, I heard kind of what was going on, and after a while, I think after they had gone downstairs for a little while and then had come back up, I went out to ask if I needed to call anyone because things sounded very heated. And Kathy said that, I think somebody said that security had already been called. And so I kind of went back to my office and was just observing to make sure that everything was okay because it was a very confrontational, heated discussion, or maybe not discussion, but, you know, interaction. And then as Emily showed up and as Grant from Securitas showed up, somehow everything kind of came shifting toward my office, and my office is kind of back in this corner. And Nina was walking kind of toward me. Skylar had kind of grabbed at the papers a couple of times. She was coming toward my office, and so I decided to, as this interaction was happening right in this part really close to my office, I decided to grab my keys and lock my door in case Nina needed to come in with me, that we would be locked in there and kind of protected. And so the conversation was heated enough that I was a little worried about
her. I was worried about myself, the whole thing, so I just, like I said, grabbed my keys, locked my door. I didn't shut the door. I still had it open so that if she needed to come in, she could. And then eventually things kind of moved back out into the hallway and went from there. So that was, I would say that, yeah, it felt pretty tense. I was worried about kind of what could happen, and I'm not sure.
So the worries you had, just to be specific, yep. were they worries about like a continued escalating verbal conflict, or were they worries related to the potential for physical conflict?
I mean, I guess I was a little bit worried about potential for physical contact because he kept grabbing at or coming toward her and trying to grab for the papers that she had behind her back. And so it felt like there was a potential to get physical, and I was worried about her in that.
So, Jim, I have a question. When you you said that there was a confrontational interaction, was it one-sided confrontational, or was did you feel like it was what do you mean by confrontational interaction, I guess? Can you clarify that for me, please?
Sure. I heard and stepped out in the hallway. Skylar had been sitting on the bench outside of my office, and sitting there, Kathy and Nina showed up. I heard them talking to him, and they were both pretty calm in that, but as voices started to raise, I went out to look at that and just observe what was happening. And I would say that in terms of the confrontation, I think they were asking him to come with them or to leave campus, I don't remember which, and he was saying no, that he wouldn't, and was saying that he was sitting, you know, watching for his posters to be, he's kind of guarding his posters, paraphrasing, right, to make sure that they weren't going to be taken down. And so confrontational in that, yeah, they were asking him to come with them or to leave, and he was saying no.
Okay.
And
as a student of the college, do you think that, like, you know, like I was still, you know, at that point, not suspended or anything, like, did they really have a right to tell me to just leave the campus?
I have no idea if they had a right to tell you to leave the campus. I don't know of everything that had gone on prior to or what kind of contact had been initiated with you ahead of time. So I don't have any say really on whether or not they have that right to ask you to leave campus.
Mm-hmm. Did you say something? I wasn't really being, like, you know, cooperative. Would you say that?
I would say that you were.
Okay. Would you say that, you know, Nina, like, withholding the posters behind her back and stuff? I mean, would you say that was cooperative?
I would say that those posters weren't posted with permission, and so it was their right to take those down. And I don't know of any reason why she had to give them back to you.
Well, just kind of judging, like, you know, I mean, it wouldn't seem to me that if the posters were taken down, that taken, you know, given back to me, like, it would have de-escalated the situation based on what I was saying. I mean, I made it, like, they asked me to leave. I think I've said that it was that I, you know, I'd take my stuff and go, and they, you know, I wanted all my stuff. I mean, it didn't. Like,
once you posted that stuff publicly, though, it wasn't yours anymore. They were just taking it down.
I'm going to cut this off.
Okay, yeah,
that's fine. We've had that discussion before, and we have a disagreement about what.
I mean, it's just about the, you know, being cooperative.
If your question's about escalation, your point's taken. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? I understood. Do you guys understand this point about escalation?
Yes.
Does anybody have? Did anybody have any more questions for Jen?
No. That was pretty clear.
Yeah. Thanks, Jen.
Thanks, Jen.
Thank you. if you wouldn't mind just shutting the door.
So then if you wouldn't mind just telling the board briefly, just sort of a synopsis of what you saw on January 30th in regards to the situation, and then they'll have an opportunity to ask you questions.
Okay. I don't think I actually saw anything. I could see you guys. I was in my office.
Or her.
With my door open originally. I was visiting with my student, Katie, and just heard yelling, heard something going on and wasn't quite sure what was going on, and then could hear, I recognized your voice in the hallway and realized that it was relating to probably the posters and just from what you guys were talking about. And I don't know if you want what I remember being said in particular, or
whatever.
Sure. Or what your impressions were. Yeah. We have a video recording of the interaction, so.
Yeah, because I don't remember exactly, but the sense was that there was a poster of papers that were on the wall, and I don't know if somebody had them. I don't know who.
And maybe a helpful question might be, how did it make you feel? Do you understand what I mean? Because that's really what you
know. You know what happened.
I was just worried, I guess, because there were just loud voices and it sounded like there was definitely some stress and strife going on. And I didn't know entirely how many people were out there or who was there. And my student, Katie, thought she should leave. And I just said, no, stay here, because I couldn't really tell what was happening or what was going on. But I could tell that things were stressful and emotions were high. And then I heard, I had Katie close the door, because I didn't know if I should be there in case people needed help or if I should have the door closed, or I don't know, but I also felt like I was trying to protect privacy and all of that, and so I just partially closed my door in case, I don't know, somebody needed something, but I also didn't want anything to come into my office either. And Katie, I just had her stay. Not leave. They want her to walk out.
So you were concerned enough to not have the student leave?
Yeah. Okay. I didn't think she should go out into the hall. So just from hearing.
Just based on the acrimony or the privacy concerns? Hmm? The acrimony or the privacy concerns, or both?
Oh, acrimony. It just seemed like things were escalating. Okay. Yeah, that's just. Okay. And without being able to even see or really know what was going on, I just felt. But I also didn't want to close the door all the way because it was kind of coming into our hallway, and I didn't know if, somebody wanted a place to come in or not. It was kind of really awkward.
Sure. So.
Does anyone have a question for Tricia? No. I don't.
I do not.
Skylar, do you have any?
I don't think so.
Okay. Okay. If you guys don't know, her office is right next to Jen's.
Okay.
Yeah, and another
side
back hallway.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You could just start by giving us a brief overview of what you heard, saw, interacted with on January 30th in regards to the situation. And then we'll ask questions.
My name is Patty White, Director of Marketing and Communications, and I had gone into Simperman Hall actually looking for Kathy on another issue, and I walked in and there was the conversation going on with Kathy, Nina, Skylar, and discussion about who should have the posters. And I decided to stay because it seemed very confrontational. And I wanted to just be there in case anything was needed of me in that moment. So I stopped and stood by Winka's office and listen to everything that was going on. Do you want me to describe it in more detail?
No, I think we're...
But the, it being your perception that it was confrontational led you to stick around.
Pardon?
Your perception that it was confrontational led you to stick around.
Yeah.
And you stayed until Skylar left?
Almost till when he left. Okay. I had an appointment I had to get to.
And you were just observing?
I was just observing and wanted to make sure that it didn't escalate even further.
But you made no effort to de-escalate. I mean, that wasn't
your... No.
I don't mean that as a criticism. So
no,
I'm just saying
no,
that you
no.
Just, you were there.
Well, and I felt that Kathy was addressing it very well, indeed, and I was pleased that it was moving the way it was, and
okay.
Didn't feel like the need to intervene in any way.
Okay. I think that's it. You're good.
Thank you, Patty.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Patty. So the two witnesses that we have left is Grant and Emily.
Grant's email.
And again, I got an email from him this morning, so I can just read that aloud, if everybody's okay with that.
Sure.
It's just a basic statement of what he saw. He wasn't available to come in today, so we won't have an opportunity for questions.
He's a Securitas employee?
Yeah. So Grant Nagel is one of our Securitas officers, and he was on shift at the time, and he said, this email was written by SO Grant Nagel to provide information concerning a call from AD Emily Weideman to respond to Semperman Hall because a student and faculty staff members were involved in a disagreement. When I got there, Skylar was arguing with Emily and two female faculty staff members about a poster. He insisted it was his property and that they should give it back. He moved aggressively toward the faculty members to grab it away from one of them. I stepped between them without touching anyone. Emily told Skylar that he could leave without the poster or that she would call the police. He refused. Emily called the police. Just before they arrived, Skylar said he had to be somewhere and left. I followed him and watched him go into the Fortin South parking lot and get into a car. I was not real close, but I motioned and called for him to stop and come back. Emily said to let him go. The police were on Learning Street across from the south doors of Semperman. The police said they could come and wait the day of his hearing and serve him with a trespass order if he got expelled. That's what he said.
Yeah, I have no questions.
Okay, so I did see people waving, but I had no idea what they were like. As far as I could tell, they were just saying goodbye. Like I just saw people waving like that, and I was like,
That's fine. So
okay, that's fine.
Yeah, that's not.
I'm not going to stick around to be trespassing campus today.
Okay. And then, do you want me to call back in Emily
about that day?
Mm-hmm.
I don't.
No, I think I'm.
I haven't seen the video, but I think Skylar should get forward an opportunity to talk to her.
Yes, no, I just want to make sure we got the
I think it would be good. There's something from the video I'd like to ask her about, something
okay.
She said. So.
That sounds good.
With
yeah.
Emily?
Yeah.
Oh, you want me to bring her in?
Yeah, Skylar would like to. This is the final witness?
Yeah, for this.
Just pardon. Final witness for the 30th.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, can you talk about that?
Mm-hmm. We have the 1st and the 16th.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm.
Hi, Skylar.
Hi.
So we had kind of walked through the situation that happened on the 30th
mm-hmm.
up to this point, so I don't know if we want her to give a brief or if we just want to go into questions.
I think maybe if it's okay, Emily, do you mind if we just, Skylar has a question of you and then we can just see what it is.
Where we go from
it's
there?
About the 30th.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so at one point, Erin, yes, I just kind of like to get your perspective on this. You
okay.
said, I quote, "We will be done with this nonsense and you will never return."
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm just wondering, like, why would you say something like that? It seems like to me, I mean, that's worse than what other people are saying. I said that were, like, verbal threats. That seems a bit dire, doesn't it? Like, what do you have to say about that?
Sure. So we were in the process of calling the police at that point. And that's what I was referring to, is that we would be done with the ongoing process. In my history in working in this type of position, needing to call police and having students escorted off campus, the odds of them returning to campus have been slim to none. And so that's kind of what I was referring to. It was an agitated moment. I probably did not phrase that in the best way. But that's what my inference was.
Okay, so do you have the right to expel people?
Do I personally have the right?
Or no. Suspend people?
Not on my own,
okay. No. Yeah, because you did have a hand in, like, the suspension letter, right? And everything, you know, around that.
Yes, but it's not my sole. It's not at my sole discretion to complete that. I was the conduct administrator on that, and therefore the letter came from me. But it's not at my sole discretion to make those decisions.
So then why would you say something that you will never return? I mean, it seems like to me that shows that you were already, like, immediately from the get go, you were biased. Like, you wanted me to get gone. You know, it seems like you had already decided what your stand on this would be without actually having any facts.
Well, and I mean, again, definitely not the best wording. Was it accurate?
Was it accurate wording for what you actually think and do with this case?
Again, historically, if students are removed from campus.
No, I'm not talking about historically. I'm talking about. That statement might have been heated, it might not have been phrased the best way, but did you mean it personally when you didn't? Did you mean by that that you thought I would be expelled and you were okay with that and you wanted that to happen? Because that's what I see from that. So I'm just trying to, you're talking about history and stuff. I want to know what you personally think because it's kind of concerning me a little.
Sure. So due process obviously always comes into play. But was it, in my mind at that moment, a possible outcome? Yes.
Was it, would you say it was an outcome you would desire in any way? Like an outcome that you would enjoy seeing happen?
Would I enjoy seeing it happen? Absolutely not. Okay, I never want to see a student's education interrupted in that way.
Okay, well then how come, like, during the meeting we had about the letters, me and my mother both called you out on it, and we have an audio recording. I don't know if you guys saw the audio recording, listened to the audio recording. I mean, we called you several times out for smirking. That seems like you were enjoying it. I'm just concerned that you've been biased this whole time.
Scholar, can I interrupt you for a second? Because I think these questions are all appropriate as questions that question the sort of integrity of the process.
Well, it's integrity. I mean,
Potential bias, but I would point out that this statement, which it was on the recording, and I understand why you object to it, was made after an engagement with Nina and Kathy that was probably the primary, was one of the most significant acts that lead us to this point. Do you understand what I mean by that?
Yeah, I know.
It comes in after the fact, and therefore I'm not sure of its relevance to your conduct, even though it might be very relevant to an appeal.
Well, right? It seems like all the issues are, you know, linked enough. I mean, it's kind of, I'd say it's indicative, you know, like of like and I would her say, like maybe like evidence of her reasoning.
And
behind
I would suggest to you that based on what we've presented thus far, it may be very relevant to you and to your argument to the college. Mm-hmm. I don't see it as relevant to our judgment of your conduct. Do you understand what I mean?
I just want her answer. Like,
and that's fine. That's your right to ask her questions, as far as I understand the thing.
Yeah, because, I mean, so far, like, pretty much everything everything I've heard from you, basically, you know, email, spoken, everything, basically, from you, Emily, has really been skirting the actual questions I ask and answering a slightly different, less difficult question. I just like to get an actual, honest, direct answer about this, because it kind of matters to me, and I think to the whole process if people are honest and not just, you know, skirting the edges of what, you know, and not, you know, just avoiding things. So I just like, you know, do you think, like, did you make up your mind at some point during this process that you wanted me expelled, or you thought that would be the best outcome or a good outcome?
No.
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 No? Okay. Would you say that you potentially have some bias in this?
I do not believe so.
Okay, I mean, what about your Facebook posts and you know, like, just kind of, like, you know, there's plenty of stuff out there showing you can have bias, you could have bias.
This sounds like this is more relevant to EO.
Yeah, or to an appeal based on procedure.
We might not be here if it wasn't for, you know, in part her actions, so.
Can I ask a question of Emily?
Yeah.
Emily, could you just clarify again, do you have the authority to expel anyone from Carroll?
On my own, no, but through process, I am involved in the process that could bring somebody to be expelled.
Okay. Thank you.
So, part of the process, but not individually able to say, you can no longer be a student here.
So you report, don't you just offer reports to people who then make decisions?
Can you make that decision?
Single-handedly?
Yes.
As a conduct officer, again, it would be part of a process, not my own single-handed. I can make a recommendation to people, usually to Maureen,
right,
and then it would be taken from there, but I cannot say, you are gone.
Are you part of the decision-making process in this student conduct?
This proceeding right now? No.
But you have been in the whole wider process here. You're just a witness at this table.
Yes, leading up to this, I have been a part of the process, but now I am removed from that.
Would you say that, like, your reports, if they had bias, could bias the outcome of the whole thing?
I do not believe so. No.
If your preliminary report recommended certain actions, and you came to that conclusion based on some personal bias, wouldn't that, I mean, if since those reports are taken into account, the organization taken into account, wouldn't that bias the entire process?
My personal bias was not brought into it. I was responding to the policy violations and the actions that were taken.
I mean, that's the purpose of having this, is to hear from everyone to avoid the very the very concern you have, I would hope.
Mm-hmm. So at the point where you say something like along the lines of you think I'm going to be, so at that point it seems like it's really, like, you know, from a psychological standpoint, hard to not be invested in the outcome. It seems like you've kind of, like, in your thing where you say I'll never return, it seems like you're already kind of committing to that belief that I'll never return. It seems like you already had decided that I probably wouldn't be coming back.
I want to propose that we move on from this, and I'm just going to put this forward, that one could actually endorse your judgment, mm-hmm, of Emily's comment and still need to determine whether your conduct merits disciplinary action. Those are severable issues. I understand why you want to bring them out. I don't think that we should devote our time to cross-examining Emily for potential bias. Do you understand what I mean?
And she doesn't have any hand in this decision.
Mm-hmm. All right, and then just one other thing, since while she's in here, she was on an email. So we talked a little bit about, kind of during your break, about how these charges, like the original charges, were moved to the Equal Opportunity Investigation. And so, because I questioned the original harassment discrimination charges versus the ones that brought up today. But I do have an email from her on the 13th of February, mm-hmm, basically listing off the new charges. Mm-hmm. And then I replied, I have a quick question. Do these new charges replace or supplement the original ones I received in which we met and discussed? And she replied, these are supplemental to the others we discussed in our meeting.
Mm-hmm. And that decision, Skylar, was made... as we are looking, so it's very unusual for us to have anyone, but particularly in this case a student, who's going through both a student conduct board hearing and an EO grievance process at the same time. So we've been trying to figure out what is appropriate for each process, and to be perfectly honest, that happened at 4:30 p.m. yesterday, uh-huh, as I'm trying to sift as now taking over this case of what are we actually hearing tomorrow. And in my discussion with the Title IX coordinator and what charges she was investigating, we decided that it was going to be duplicative. So I did not have an opportunity to tell that to you in advance, but I will put it in your letter,
okay,
that those charges under the conduct process have been dropped.
All right.
So we will, they're still listed technically in all the paperwork today, mm-hmm, but they will be dropped in your letter that we send you. So they're not considering them.
All right,
that you are not responsible because those charges have been
dropped. All right, well, I have a couple points. So one, that's, you basically just admitted that you're playing this whole process by ear and that it's not, like, written down anywhere. I just like to note that real clear. It's the same. You said, like, it doesn't happen. It seems like you don't really have a process, you know, set some of this. The other point is that those original charges, if those hadn't been, it seems like all this stuff we're talking about today still rests on those original charges, because we've established, I've hung up other posters that people didn't take issue with. So the fact that people took issue with those posters and said that they were discrimination and harassment, like, if that hadn't been, I think it is really relevant. It's kind of weird that you would get rid of them, because without those original charges, none of the other stuff would have happened, because there wouldn't have been a confrontation on the 30th, because no one would have taken an issue with the posters, just like no one's taken an issue with any other poster I've hung up prior to this.
It still brings to light the fact that you did hang posters with, out of the context of the policy.
Yes,
so that's where it started, and then behaviors and actions that have happened since then in interactions with administrators has added to the charges.
But none of those additional charges, none of the other interactions would have ever happened if the original charges.
Well, the original charge did include the posters. So
I know, but the discrimination and harassment. I mean, sure, I violate that poster policy all the time. No one cares.
But that's.
I mean, that's the thing. So if you're, so it's the it's the discrimination and harassment sections of, and you know, hate crime sections of that really caused any of this to happen. Otherwise, the poster has just been ignored. I mean, it's just, it seems like it's weird that you'd remove that.
So the posters, however the posters were brought to the attention of the college, they were, it's still against the policy. Now, whether the content of the posters was offensive to some, that's what's being investigated by the Title IX coordinator.
Yeah, you have to realize, I mean, none of this would be happening if it was just a poster policy. I'd probably be told to write a page paper, one page paper, a 5-page paper or something, saying how it's bad to hang out posters without permission or something.
So, Skylar, I think that that's very true. So, but again, I think it's the behaviors that have occurred because of being confronted about the posters.
But they wouldn't have happened if the original charges. I think it's funny that the original charges were removed.
Because conduct is conduct.
Yes.
No, do you understand what I mean? That regardless of the immediate circumstances that precipitate conduct. Do you understand what I mean?
It seems like the college is, you know, I think personally, honestly, that somebody kind of realized that it is really just discrimination to say put harassment and, you know, hate crime charges against me for expressing my religion. So I think that's why those charges really have been moved.
And I think you're perfectly free to advance that,
and that's why
as a theory, but I don't know, I'm not convinced of its relevance to this particular proceeding,
I would agree.
Which deals with conduct for which you are responsible regardless of the preceding events or the precipitating conflict.
I mean,
you know what I mean? Like, you can be completely right, in the right, and still have subsequent conduct that's in violation of the conduct board. The conduct policy.
Mm-hmm. But I'm saying it's the college that really instigated that conduct. I mean, it's like provoking someone to be angry and then being upset when they're angry.
Skylar, I understand your argument fully. I think that this is not the appropriate venue to make it.
Okay.
Because of what our mandate, we can't even decide on things like that.
Right.
Yeah. We can only evaluate your conduct.
Yeah. Why wasn't I informed that those charges, original charges, were removed before this? I mean, if it happened yesterday, there was time for me to email.
Again, they're still technically on the table as of this morning, but they are not being considered.
They're not forwarded to us.
Yes. Yeah.
That's the conduct hearing officer's discretion, yeah. Prerogative. Under policy, right? Because you might have to add, you might have to, well, mostly detract. Right. Okay, I think we should move on.
I think we should move on.
I think we have to.
Yes.
If that's okay, do you have any other questions of Emily not relating to potential bias?
No, I don't think so. Although it would be really nice to like get a look at some of her slightly more private posts on Facebook, because they're like stuff that, because I think there is a lot of bias, I mean, just from her picture.
You've made that position very clear. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I just think, you know, there's a conflict. Yeah,
you.
Yeah, that's it.
Thanks, Kelly.
Thank you.
Thank you, Emily.
Thank you.
So that takes us through the 30th. We have also the interaction that happened on February 16th. That was when the meeting at which the letter was delivered to Skylar. But no formal charges were brought forward from that meeting under the conduct code. So there's really nothing else that's formally been charged at this point. So I don't know if there's anything else from the two.
Is the meeting with Kathy?
Yes.
About the options for potential.
Yes.
Okay.
What about the first? Was there anything about that?
The first, we do have, and the email was included, and so, Skylar, we can talk and see if there's any questions you have, or if the board has any questions of you, of when you were presented with the original charges, Emily and...
Yeah, the original charges on the first.
Yes.
So stop on the 16th and the first, like, are those being considered in this at all?
The first is, the meeting on the 16th is relevant as far as behavior goes under the previous charges. So we do have a witness from the 16th
For what other charges?
For the charges that were presented to you on the 13th. I mean, it's additional information. So the harassment, or the, what is it? Let me pull the charge sheet so I don't mess it up. So the... potentially the conduct that is disorderly, lewd, or indecent, et cetera, or harassment, threats, or coercion.
So the stuff I got on the 13th was basically the charges that we're talking about today.
Correct. Okay. And your interactions on the 16th continued to escalate some of those charges.
Which interactions, exactly?
The meeting that you had with Kathy.
That was recorded.
That was recorded.
And it was up on his website. Yeah. So
you all listened to that?
I did.
Recording?
Did, yes.
Okay, so you're saying there are other things from that meeting, or no?
Well, I think we need to discuss those two incidents. So there's the incident on the first. So the charges were given to you on the 13th. The meeting on the 16th, however, has been put forward under the charges that were already presented, but I'm not sure we can really...
Can hold on a second? I don't think anything... it was a heated discussion at this table. I mean, it's...
Well, that's not necessarily... But let's leave that aside for a second. I've got a question about that. We've got an email here from the 3rd.
Yeah, I was going to ask...
Written to Emily?
Yes.
We have two. Yeah, and I was going to ask about those.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
You go ahead, Jeanette.
No, go ahead. I think we have the same questions. So
my question is about February 3rd, the first one sent at 9:17 a.m.
I suggest you change your mind, or this will not end well.
Yeah.
And then you would sort of retract that, right? Or clarify your meaning on...
Yeah, everyone else says this is really bad PR. I mean, I know actually for a fact that this has made a prospective student, at least one prospective student in college, who told me that he'll be considering other colleges now. Carroll is the first on his list, but this whole panel, he said this whole can of worms.
But that's not
the...
My
that's, we want that's, the wording yeah. here. And the wording is, I suggest you change your mind, or this will not end well for you or the college. And that sounds very threatening. Very threatening.
Reader Man should be fired. She's being incompetent on this. That's my opinion.
But your anger is not the same as your conduct.
Right.
So
your
feeling that she is unjustified in her decision does not relieve you of being responsible for your conduct. And for 9 minutes, Emily lived under what was a pretty explicit threat.
That she saw that email?
It doesn't matter.
Well,
it's what you did. It's not what she saw.
Okay, well, if she wasn't, she couldn't have been threatened if she hadn't seen it.
Let me be very clear then, Skylar, so you don't engage in that kind of argument. For 9 minutes, Emily lived under a potential threat from you.
Only if she saw it. I mean...
Under a potential threat.
Okay, well, any... Well,
you threw a threat at her for 9 minutes, even if we take into account that you clarify it 9 minutes later.
And it still says, as any reasonable person would realize. No. We could argue the inverse.
That's
a reasonable
judgment.
Would be threatened for those 9 minutes. There's this question of what is reasonable, right? And what you see as reasonable, it is...
So
entirely possible that someone would take that quite differently.
Right. So what we're going to say, and this is about judgment, but what I'm trying to say is, you suggest through these two emails that you offer something that might be construed as a threat by someone who's unreasonable, and then you clarify that for the benefit of that unreasonable person.
Because I was like, well, yeah, she'll probably take that wrong based on my previous encounters with her.
I'm going to suggest that that's not that. In fact, your interpretation of those two emails is not reasonable because. I know we've got a judgment section, but this seems to be really problematic because it seems to be a threat which you then seek to retract,
right?
Rather than a statement which you seem to clarify.
Well,
yes.
I think my original email, I left out a few words, but then I put those words back in.
Well, yeah, but
that's not
this
the same
is what you have what
that's,
you said.
That's clarified.
Maybe we were not going to agree on this. I thought we should talk about it as a matter of establishing in the record that this is another potential threat.
So, I mean, you think a reasonable person would think that I was going to show up at Emily's house and like attack her?
Yes, absolutely, 100%.
That is insane.
No,
honestly, why would I do that? Where is there any indication I would do that?
By what you said.
But
it's what you wrote. It will not end well for you.
So
what she wrote.
If you want to get technical, though, so if you're saying that 9-minute gap is so crucial, you do realize that with the way computers work, that original email was split up, and both emails were split up into many different packets and sent individually and then reassembled. So it just took a lot less than 9 minutes.
That argument's sophistic. It's not actually a legitimate argument.
No.
Let's move on. We've established that it's in the record. That's what I would like to do.
Thank you.
So I think, unless there's any other questions about the 1st through the 16th, I think we'll move to the 16th discuss the 16th. We do have.
I would just like to say just a couple things. One, so on the 1st, I would just like to put on the record that I consider that I was being held against my will by administration and the police. I didn't want to be there. I was walking away when they stopped me. So I just want to make that clear that was not a consensual interaction.
Okay.
Let's see. Also, I appealed my suspension, temporary suspension twice because I questioned that it was, you know, necessary or allowed by the rules that govern temporary suspensions. As of the first time, it was rejected by Emily, pretty fast without really weird phrasing. And then I got a second one, and I ended up talking on the phone and stuff, and It was just all very unclear, but then that second appeal was rejected too. But for the only reason given was that I had violated the suspension. But if my appeal was that the suspension was invalid in the first place, thus the violation wouldn't have been valid if the suspension wasn't. It was just kind of a circular logic thing there, where my suspension appeal was denied because I violated the suspension. But if I hadn't violated the suspension would have been invalid in the first place.
Your argument is a false premise.
Yeah.
Your argument is in fact circular. The procedure is actually, it might have a terrifying logic of its own, but the procedure remains logical.
Because my appeal was that the suspension was invalid. They found it wasn't invalid because I had violated it. I mean, I see a contradiction there.
That's not what they determined, actually.
It isn't. I mean, we have. Let's see. We do have it in here. We do have the response because we talked in the.
It's actually pretty black. It's black letter in the policy that if you actually violate the terms of a temporary suspension, it's actually.
But my issue with the appeal was that the temporary suspension was never justified.
Right, but so long that it's in place, you are obligated to abide by it until determination has been made that decides in your favor.
And so you're saying
process wins over your claim of justice.
So if a law is like rendered invalid, breaking that law makes the law somehow valid. If the law is invalid in the first place, that doesn't make sense. That's kind of the same. If I'm told to follow a rule that is invalid, then me breaking the rule doesn't break the rule because the rule was never enforceable in the first place.
You're applying the logic of Aquinas and Dr. Martin Luther King to college policy.
Okay. I get that somehow because the college holds all.
Well, and I understand your position on that, but that actually isn't those aren't the rules that govern our following of procedure.
Yeah, I think the rules are just they're broken in favor of the college, like consistently.
But that's not the issue today. That's
in any case, procedural questions really need to be brought up in appeal.
Yeah, because that's not why we're here today.
So, and here's what it says, just Skylar, for the complainants and the board, just so you know. So under the interim suspension, it does say, so in certain circumstances, the vice president for student life or a designee may impose an interim college or residence hall suspension prior to the student conduct board hearing. It may be imposed to ensure safety and well-being of members of the college community or preservation of college property to ensure the student's own physical or emotional safety and well-being, or if the student poses an ongoing threat or disruption of or interference with the normal operations of the college. During the interim suspension, the student shall be denied access to the residence halls and to the campus and all other college activities or privileges for which the student might otherwise be eligible as the vice president for student life or a designee may determine to be appropriate, which those were outlined in your letter. The interim suspension does not replace the regular student conduct process, which will proceed on the normal schedule up to and through the student conduct board hearing if required. The student will be notified in writing of an interim suspension and reasons for it. The notice will include date, time, place of subsequent meetings with the vice president for student life or designee, at which the student may show cause why the interim suspension should be discontinued or modified.
I might just notice here. So the interim suspension does not replace the regular student conduct process, which shall proceed in a normal schedule. But I have correspondence that basically indicates that my appeal of the suspension slowed the whole process down because they had to stop and consider the appeal.
So as you know, because we discussed it in our emails the other day, that the conduct process can be extended for reasons that are considered.
Okay, well, it says the interim suspension can't interfere with the rest of the process, but I have stuff saying it did.
From whom?
I'm looking for it right now.
Okay. So that, again, this would be something that would be a process question. So here we are. So we're at this conduct hearing right now, and what we're trying to determine is whether or not you violated the policies that have been put forward to you on the dates that have been put forward. And then it's up to these individuals to determine whether or not you are responsible for violating those policies and the sanctions. If you feel that throughout this process your rights have been violated, you will have an opportunity to appeal, and that is one of the pieces that you can appeal under. And that is, that's under the appeals process. It'll also be included in your letter from myself and from the board so that you are reminded again of what the process is, so that you can appeal based on it's not going to change the outcome of this hearing. So basically what we're doing is we're already at the 2-hour mark, and you continue to kind of come back to the process. And again, I think Dr. Parsons has mentioned it several times that you may have some very good reasoning why you think that your rights have been violated, but what we need to do today is at least get the process concluded, and then you can go back and appeal.
If the process is broken, it's the whole thing falls apart.
But we're dealing with your
then that's what an appeal process is for. Yeah. We're not going to stop the process.
Why was I told in my meeting that I had, with the recording, hour-long recording, but Emily, why did she say that there would be no appeal to this?
To the conduct board?
Yeah.
She
said there wouldn't be.
There's always an appeal to a conduct board. There's not an appeal to an interim suspension other than what's outlined.
Well, because it seems like, basically, she said there was no, this is on the recording, she said there's no appeal. And it seems like she was trying to pressure me into just taking the plea deal type thing because she didn't want the process to continue. She just wanted me to be gone.
Then that's something that you should include in an appeal letter. Yeah. But that's not something that the board is going to...
Do you remember that at all?
I'm going to give my perspective on it after we're done with this exchange.
Okay.
Again, that's outside... If there was an issue with the process, that's really something that you should address in your appeal letter.
Well, why can't we address it now?
Because what we're trying to do is at least get you a decision from the original conduct issue.
And shouldn't the decision take into place all of the mistakes the college made during the process? I mean, that seems like the kind of thing that would be in the hearing and in the appeal.
Well,
but that doesn't change your conduct.
It doesn't change the conduct piece.
But you have to consider the college's conduct too. I mean, if the college provoked me and did all these things against me, of course that would make me justified.
Scholar, I think the institution as a whole may need to take that into account, but we as conduct hearing officers
don't.
We don't. We're here to evaluate,
your conduct for which you're ultimately
conduct.
As am I and all of us.
Yeah. I think we should move on.
Yeah.
I really am hesitant because I understand, I think very well your position, but this is not the appropriate, we're not the appropriate officers to judge that. Let's move on.
Okay.
Kathy had something.
On this subject? No, it's later, on the 16th, right?
Oh, okay.
I can, if it's helpful, confirm that Emily did indicate to Skylar in that exchange that there was not, it was the final decision.
That the board is the final decision?
Yes, I do not agree with the coercion point of view, but when I have a chance, I'll just give my remarks.
She said it twice.
That we're the final decision?
She said that there is no appeal. It's in the recording.
Yeah, and also, since the recording was an audio recording, me and my mother called her out on, Emily out on, smirking a bit, and I saw you glance at her a couple times during the meeting, you just, confirm that.
Don't put words in my mouth, Skylar. That's absolutely not true.
And Skylar, let's that.
It's on the recording. I just wanted to get
Skylar. No, but not saw. Not
there's
my
no
face.
Video of it, first of all. But secondly, that goes towards that bias question, which is not appropriate for this venue. Let's move on.
Yes.
It's totally appropriate, but since you guys are the bosses, I guess we'll move on. We'll just have to differ on this stuff.
So I think we need to probably move to the 16th, and if there is anything new that we need to bring forward that are relevant to the charges at hand, that's what we should finish up with. And then Skylar can address if there, you know, whatever issues we are looking at from the 16th and that interaction, and then we will see what we can need to do to close this out.
Do we have a written record of that, or we just
have
the...
There is a written statement from Kathy.
Yeah, okay.
It's
a statement I wrote.
And we listened, and they, each of us listened to that,
mm-hmm.
that meeting, or at least I did. I know.
I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Do you guys notice any discrepancies in Kathy's written record of that, based on without any recording?
I didn't, but I read hers, and then I listened to it. I didn't go back and consult the written record, and I didn't compare the two at the end. I read her account first, and then
she made out like the mother to be, you know, confrontational and say something she didn't.
Okay. Well, let's turn to this then.
Okay then. Okay. You know, and I first of all, the purpose for me to be in that meeting was I believe we are proceeding to the place in the meeting to try to reach an informal resolution without going to conduct board. I was asked to be involved in that meeting because there was great concern voiced that we assist and try to find a way for a pathway to degree completion for Skylar because of where he's at. And that's one of the main focuses of my job. I know how to do it. I've worked with multiple students doing that when they're not able to complete with the normal route. And so that was my role in that meeting. And what I will say is, and it's very clear from the very beginning of my comments, is I entered into that meeting to listen and to be attentive and to not let the situation escalate. So I did not take copious notes or minutes. In fact, I didn't take any notes until the very end when I was concerned about what was being said. So it is possible that a few facts that you might hear in the video may not be exactly correct. But it was from my recollection and also my feelings while being and sitting in that meeting. So with that said, I'm not going to go through all the details because you've listened. What I want to say a couple general things and then say why I think this is very related to the charges on the table. I have been a college administrator for 20 years. Before that, I worked for 16 years. For the Catholic Bishop working with ANOMA cases, I've worked in very difficult situations. I have never felt so unnerved and verbally assaulted as in that meeting. And it was more by the tone and the noise. But I need to say that I was shaking at the beginning of the meeting and having trouble, and which is not like me. If you know me, I was really having trouble trying to center myself. And to be listened and to be attentive and to answer questions. And so you have my rendition of what happened and you have the video. Mm-hmm. What the things I think are relevant to the charges are about 20 minutes into the meeting, it was clear that what we were offering was not acceptable to Skylar and his mother. And Emily was trying to end the meeting, and because it was we were just arguing process, much like what's gone on here, and the many things the college has done wrong in the past, and so she was trying to end the meeting, and at one time Skylar became very angry and slammed his hand on the table. His mother actually said something, and I'm not quoting verbatim, but let's go over that. And it slammed his hand on the table. And said, no, I have until 3:30 and I'm staying here. So we proceeded to sit and to continue to have conversations, which I tried to cover or enter in the recording. At the very end, what's most disconcerting to me at the very end is
as it was time to leave and we started, Skylar indicated how this has made him physically ill. I can empathize with that, and this has been very difficult for him, but then became more and more angry and agitated and engaged in, again, what I really felt was threatening language and saying, I am so angry, I am free to do whatever the hell I want. That was when I first wrote a note, and I was questioned about, why are you writing? Mm-hmm. And I think you heard me say, well, you're recording, and so I think I have a right to write. And went on to indicate that, and elaborate that he would take the college down or damage the college through PR and through protests. But he ended that, and by posting YouTube videos, which he had hidden of me and Nina, and that he would continue that, and the words, I believe, were that he would put a lot of people together for a protest, create a lot of very bad publicity, and your college will be wiped off the face of the earth. Another, I have asked for a witness to come, because when I left this meeting, other employees heard this. They were very worried about what was happening in here. And one employee, I did not talk to her directly. She went to her supervisor and said, I heard, I'm really worried, and she wanted to call the police because she overheard that exchange. And we left the meeting, you know, once again, just really encouraging them to consider the options. But I did feel, whether it is your reality or not, I felt I have never been treated that way by a student or a parent. I tried very hard to stay calm and be respectful. And I will say, I do now feel exposed and violated and threatened by having YouTubes, which are they're not objective, and having recordings of meetings put on public websites and put on YouTube. And that's very disconcerting to me. And for the record, I do not have a Facebook page, so.
How would a raw video recording somehow not be objective? You brought that up in the meeting, too.
Skylar, it was from your point of view.
It was from the camera's point of view.
I don't feel it was. It was an objective depiction of all that went on.
Then no one has an objective anything about it, because everyone's seeing from their
point of view.
The camera is the most objective way to, the most objective form of witness. Like, everyone, like, people, you know, their memories change every time you remember them. I mean, it's just kind of staggering that you would say that you object to footage because it's not objective. I mean,
the
sure, if I had edited it.
You edited it.
I did not. I uploaded it directly from my camera.
But Skylar, the footage was.
Okay, well,
from
you see, there's
camera.
No cuts in it.
Yeah, but look.
I'm not going to argue that.
I'm going to be very clear. Yeah. If it was CCTV, right? So it was like some camera in the corner. That would approach an objective position. Where you put the camera actually creates subjectivity. But we can just leave that aside for a second. I have a question for you. So you were recorded without your permission.
Exactly.
And then that recording was put on public websites.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
On YouTube.
There's nothing in any college rule or state law or federal law saying that's not allowed.
17, I do believe in.
Well, 17 prohibits the recording without permission of anyone on campus.
Only if there's danger of harm to them.
It's not harm, it's distress or harm.
Okay, well, why would she be distressed by evidence? I mean, that seems like the kind of thing only a guilty person would do.
You're reasoning from a conclusion, but that's okay. That's clear enough.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that was it. I guess if you want to bring in Leslie, is she next?
Yes, Leslie and
Candy.
Leslie and Candy and Jack.
Candy was here too.
They were next door.
Okay.
I'd like Leslie.
I know. May I ask the
point,
Maureen, would it be okay to bring just Leslie in if they're all talking about roughly the same, if they all observed, heard that conversation, can we just bring Leslie in?
Sure.
If they're all testifying to the same thing?
It's up to the complainants.
I'm okay with that.
It's up to the complainants.
Or could they all come in at the same time?
No, maybe not.
That doesn't work.
Okay, we'll bring them all in. That's fine.
I just don't want to belabor a point that we.
I mean,
everybody saw the same thing. It's up to Nina and Kathy, I think.
Having Janet, whose office was next door, and overheard. If we're not disputing the noise level, Are we disputing the noise level or the slamming of the hand on the table?
I think there are two things that I'd like to establish. I think the noise level is pretty clearly established by Leslie's letter, right? Mm-hmm. Which is an issue. Which,
yeah, well, noise. I mean, right. It's not like it's a noise complaint. It's not like it's an issue there.
Okay, Scott, really. I understand. So that's one point. So if we could admit, if we could just like agree that you were loud enough that people down the hall could hear you, and that you slammed the table, which is clearly you can hear that on the video.
Well, it's the. One with the audio, I was sitting like my computer like this. I was the closest one to the microphone, so that is gonna the volume on that is a little bit off. Everyone else is gonna be a lot quieter.
So my
just sounding.
But my question, Scott, to you is not about the video. Do you dispute Leslie Olson's report that she heard you from down the hall?
Well, her report here doesn't say that it was loud. She just said she was on, I think it seems like she was walking past.
If we're not in agreement, we should bring her in and have her speak then. That makes sense. Okay.
Fine. I don't think the door was completely closed. So the door wasn't closed. So anyone walking by would have been able to overhear.
Yeah.
Please use more cameras.
Okay. Bill, would it be possible if we can't establish noise to have Jenna Riss come in but not Candy?
Noise is an issue if the tone of the noise is threatening.
Right.
Yeah.
Also, for my head on the table, the way I remember, I was like. That with my hand, just as emphasis to my words. So I don't see how that would be right.
Well, let's go ahead and
let's see.
So Leslie, we would just like to hear your account of what you heard or saw, but mostly heard on that during that meeting on February 16th.
Well, I was just walking down the hall to the business office that afternoon, and as I walked by the president's conference room, I heard a statement coming from in here. From a male voice that just said, Carroll College was not too far from being wiped off the face of the earth, and that concerned me pretty significantly to the point where I went back to my office and told our staff that we need to be on alert, that there could potentially be an altercation occur after the meeting, so we just needed to be on heightened alert. I was concerned for our staff.
Was the door open at all?
No.
No? Both of us remember it being open, at least a little bit.
It would be unusual for it to be open, but I don't know.
I was standing right outside the doorway, and it was not open.
Well, if you're standing right outside, there are vents on the door, and it's not like the door is sealed. I mean, and did you hear any other like words besides that exact phrase? No.
That's all I happened to hear.
Okay, because the context of it was had a whole different message.
Yeah, maybe we can talk about that after Leslie leaves. We don't have to. Should I bring it up now?
Or did you have any other questions as far as...
I have no. It was loud, but you heard it as you walked by.
And it was significant enough.
And you thought, given the out-of-context hearing of it, that you were worried and you reported it to your staff.
Correct. Okay. Because your report doesn't say that it was loud. Right. It just says that you heard it as you walked by.
So I think that's all we need from Leslie. Yeah. And maybe we should bring someone in who is going to attest to the volume. Okay. Does that make sense?
Janet?
Okay. Do you guys have any questions of Leslie? Sorry. No. Okay. Good.
I'm gonna see if I can find it. I'm gonna see if I can get the snippet of the conversation too, because it will be recording.
The context?
Yeah, or just like the noise, kind of. Just kind of. We can all hear that at once.
If you can cue it up, Skylar, I think if you could cue it up for about a minute before you make that statement, that would be helpful.
Yeah. All right, Janet. So we're talking about the meeting that occurred in the president's conference room on the afternoon of February 16th. If you could just provide us with. Basically, anything you heard or your impressions of that meeting?
Sure. I didn't hear specific words. I heard escalation. Obviously, I hear muffling through the walls all the time.
Yeah, to clarify, Janet's office is right on the other side of that wall.
Yeah. I've never heard it. I knew something was probably wrong or going on, and we couldn't have a meeting. I was having a meeting with Candy Kane on a scholarship, and it was impossible to discuss and have a regular meeting because it was very loud. There was slamming of a I assume the table, I don't know what it was. Very loud, escalated. Obviously, something was being discussed heatedly.
Had you ever heard a discussion as loud as that one?
No,
in here?
Not as loud as that one, no.
Did you do anything in response to hearing the noise?
No, we did not come in.
Did you do anything like, you said you couldn't hold your meeting? Did you have to move your...
We did move it.
You moved your meeting to another place so that you wouldn't be overhearing
it. No, we moved it to a different day.
Different day? Yes. Oh, you just canceled the meeting?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, I could... That's it. I think I don't have any other questions. If Jan, do you guys?
No, that's clear. Thank you.
Skylar, can you stop there for a second? Because I mean, I listened to this recording last night, and I would like to just.
You don't have to remember about what time during the recording it is.
No, I don't actually. It was closer to the end, but I don't remember. Mm-hmm. I don't remember quite where. But I mean, the context of that meeting, the context of that statement was clearly. I mean, it's the final statement in a parade of horribles that begins with bad publicity, ends with reduced enrollment. Yeah. Into the budget shortfall that results in the closure of the college. That is to say that it was a statement that, taken out of context, might suggest something that the context doesn't suggest. Does that make sense? It certainly was delivered in anger, right?
Well, yeah.
And out of a deep anger and frustration, but it was also contextualized in, like, I'm going to ruin you, your image, and therefore ruin you financially.
Oh, yeah, I was just stating what the conclusion would be.
And it was stated with sort of an emphasis that bordered on sort of like it was very combative and maybe even violent in the way you said it, but it was
a lot of people. I think I don't think I'm the only person who would react that way in that situation. I mean, I think a lot of people would.
Do you have any? Do you dispute that account that I offered?
No.
Does that make sense?
No, that's, I write that in my statement.
Yeah. Okay. Good. So we don't have to listen to it then.
I listen to it. It would take me a while to find it anyway.
Good.
So.
Are there any more other witnesses? So at this point, do we hear from the complainant and the respondent?
Yeah, just basically closing statements, anything else that you want the board to know before they go into closed session.
Is it my turn? Or?
Do you want a minute or two?
Do you want to go first?
They can go first.
Okay.
So just a summary.
We've been here for 2.5 hours, and we don't need to repeat what we just did. But.
No, we don't. I would just end by sharing again a significant 32-year career in higher ed. Worked with a lot of students, had a lot of interactions with students, faculty, staff. This was challenging, difficult. Being videoed, being recorded, having all that put out in the public arena via social media is most distressful to me. I tend to be a very private person. I believe that work is work, and I like it to remain here. So I would end by sharing, there was and continues to be distress on my part. This is very uncomfortable, very unsettling, very disruptive, and has been since that initial day when I accompanied Kathy to deliver what I thought was just going to be a letter and a conversation that would end with a very reasonable agreement. So that's what I would share.
I just want to say a couple of things in closing. I want to be very clear that we came to this point we would not be sitting in this conduct hearing if Skylar had simply violated the poster policy and received the letter from me. We would not be sitting here. I have made no judgments nor entered into any conversations about his beliefs or mine or the contents of those posters. Secondly, I would very much still, regardless of the outcome of this, like to find a way, if at all possible, for a way for Skylar to complete his degree. But
I have serious concerns about doing so in a manner where I continue to feel unsafe and threatened, or others on the campus do. And that was the motivation for my being asked to do something. It was, people are expressing concern, they have different opinions, but my job is also to work with the other administrators on this campus to make sure that we create a place that is appropriate for all parties involved. And I still truly, as I said, I would do, if asked, what I could to help Skylar complete his degree. But I in no way believe that the behaviors and the treatments that have ensued are appropriate or should be allowed at Carroll. So.
All right. I have a few things. I'm also a very private person. But you can't tell from, you know, looking at the back of my computer, but, well, you kind of can. I mean, you know, I mean, the EFF, they, you know, they're all about, you know, electronic privacy. My computer doesn't run Windows because it's not private enough for me. I use Bitcoin. I mean, I have all these things. I'm also very private, and I also feel that this whole thing has given me a lot of stress, too. I mean, I think I feel just as wronged as Nina does. I've just been frustrated with this whole thing. I mean, and I know I've overstepped a little bit. I've done some things wrong, but I don't think the college's response is really proportionate in any way. And also, just another, my voice is always loud. Just to clear that up. Like, I've been shushed when I'm also already already talking almost in a whisper. It's just the tone that whatever the sound of, I don't know, I'm really music person. The sound of my voice, like, whatever wavelength it is, just cuts through things really easily. I don't know why. It just does. It carries. It's good for some things, but not for other things. I've just been really frustrated with this whole system. I mean, and you guys saw that in this. It's extremely confusing having, you know, multiple processes at once, having things be moved back and forth between them, having people send me emails that say things or say things to me that aren't in agreement with what the code of conduct says about the issue. It's just, the whole thing has been just, I guess, fiasco. I mean, it's just, that's how I feel about it. I mean, I've been suspended for, from my point of view, persecuted for religion and prevented from doing classwork for 6 weeks now. I mean, it's just, by now I could have, I mean, by now in a couple of my classes, I could have almost finished the class. Because a couple of my classes were like things like senior projects and things. I would have had enough time even to actually finish those projects. And at this point, I'd be putting on, just embellishing things on them and tweaking the code, you know, for computer stuff on those. I mean, it's at this point. I mean, it's just, the whole thing's just way out of proportion. I mean, I know Kathy did say, you know, in her closing remark that, she would like to come to an amicable kind of, you know, agreement. You know, let me finish if at all possible. And when they sent me the kind of, you know, presented me with that, you know, plea deal type letter, my response was in the form of a different deal, like something that I found reasonable, that basically meant the college would just have to kind of suck up a little bit and just say we're sorry, we acknowledge we did things wrong, and then I didn't even demand to be let onto campus for my classes. I was fine with working with my professors off campus, or having the college refund me refund my tuition and pay for transfer classes instead. I was fine with that, and I don't think those are too far off from what they were wanting. But Emily shot that down basically immediately after I sent that.
I don't think it went in here.
But I did counter their proposal, and it was rejected. I'm trying to see if I can.
This is after the meeting of the 16th?
Yes, but yeah. Skylar, I can't. No, there's another one that Skylar did respond. It's a PDF, but I couldn't print it off. It is secured, and none of us could get it printed. I assumed you had it.
It'll be in there in less than 60 seconds. I'll sync it up.
I would challenge if it
that I mean, not being able to print it when
because
it's
then they can at least look at what you proposed.
Right. Yeah, this is a counterproposal that he offered after the meeting of the 16th.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
This is distinct from the email that he sent. Oh God, where he listed like.
We will bring it up, but it is hard because this basically is something that came in after all of everything that's being.
Well, it came in after me, but I mean the people that were supposed to look at it should have been able to look at it.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah. But this is distinct from the thing of February 8th that he sent to Annette.
They never asked for a different copy of it or something.
He said
or
he said I could attend. Hearing officer. It was sent to Emily, okay. The hearing officer, and copied to me.
Okay.
But I couldn't print it off. I assume that that was given to you.
Yeah.
But I would like to go on record for saying I do not.
Well, if you refresh the page,
you don't endorse it.
You don't endorse
it. Let's see. It's not in. Not in here yet.
That's fine.
Do I need to sign out? Maybe and sign back in. Or?
No. It should just. It should. It takes about. It scans every 60 seconds for changes.
Okay.
So it's called counter proposal. It'll be in there. Let's see. I can force a resync here. That should show up faster. Is the mud in there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, the server is being in a little, so I think it's apparently.
Mm-hmm. I have it in an email that I could forward.
You could also forward it to my email if you want.
I cannot print it. I cannot save it. All I can do is look at it.
Well, you should be able to save it, and you. Yeah, I mean, printing might be restricted.
It will not allow it. It's secure.
Here it is.
Okay. Well, I know what you can. Oh, yeah, okay, there it is.
All right. Well, yeah.
Just to clarify, it was sent to Emily, and I was not involved in on the ongoing procedure.
So it was only sent to Emily, even though it was CC'd?
I was just CC'd.
To Nina and
Dr. Evans was
CC'd. Right. I've CC'd Dr. Evans on almost everything. Figured it wasn't a bad idea. And you know, the only response I ever got to this was just a flat out saying, I guess we can't work together at all. And we
that was from Emily?
Yeah. She basically didn't give an image message. She just said, I guess we can't come to an agreement.
That was a voicemail message?
It was an email, yeah.
Wait, hang on.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
Let me know when you're ready.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm ready.
You okay, Kathy?
Is that Kathy?
Wave? Yeah, I mean, it's one of the. I mean, I feel honestly that I don't like for. I don't think I even.
So get a degree without doing the credits.
I think I you know talk to my professors. They you know my computer professors especially they can show that they can say like yeah he's way ahead of
everyone.
Yeah,
I understand. I just make sure I understood your proposal.
I do believe, I don't have it with me, there was an email that said it clearly can't reach this through mutual consent, so we'll move to the conduct board.
And that was Emily's response? And did she make that response on her own as the conduct officer?
No,
or did she?
No, we, she, yeah.
You guys would concur in that? Okay,
yes.
Good. Just making sure.
Yes.
Thank you, Skylar.
Did you have anything else in the closing statement fashion?
Yeah, it's anything. I guess this thing can turn out to be all about the posters and stuff, but I mean, it's none of the posters were actually against Catholic Church teaching, and the fact that the college took an issue with them in the first place just shows that they're not really being Catholic, even though they promised to be in the mission statement and really everything they have everywhere. I mean, I've shown the posters to Catholic priests and to other just faithful Catholics and some people who aren't even Catholics, and they say, yeah, I mean, this doesn't seem right for the college to be taking this kind of action. I mean, it's just, it's kind of staggering when you hear in the news and stuff about people, you know, like having their free speech and press and things, you know, because, or, you know, like people getting like their businesses shut down because they refuse to support gay weddings and stuff. But to have it actually happen to me is like a whole other thing. And it's really shocking that a Catholic college would do that. And still, and then, you know, the same week send out, you know, letters to alumni asking for money and saying that they're super Catholic. I mean, it's just sad. And there's other people other people say, who have told me, you know, via the internet that it is sad. Like some people say, I'm not Catholic, I'm just kind of Christian. And this is, like, the college is just overreaching and just being terrible. It's terrible.
Skylar.
So it's just,
I don't mean to interrupt you, but I want to make sure that you get everything out that you need to get out. So the first part of your response addressed more directly the conduct. You talked about your voice. You talked about that. Then we had the interruption, now you're on the...
Yeah, I'm just saying...
Do you have anything else to talk about your conduct?
The posters are definitely... I mean, half of them quoted Catholic teaching directly.
Sure.
So...
Scott, did you hear Dr. Parsons' question? He wants to know if you have anything else to say about your conduct.
Yeah. I mean,
about your conduct.
Sure. I could have behaved better, but... I honestly don't see or feel anything that I violated anyone's whatever, made anyone feel threatened or unsafe. I mean, I think if people feel unsafe, honestly, they're being a little bit of a baby about it. I think it's an overreaction. Like, I think this whole thing's an overreaction because the college doesn't want to lose the approval of liberals, honestly.
Okay.
It seems like their actions aren't really Catholic in this. I mean,
that's a question about the policy. Yeah. But what about the complainants? Do you think they're overreacting?
A bit, yeah. I mean, I don't feel I ever threatened anyone. I certainly didn't try to threaten anyone. That would have been extremely hypocritical of me. If I'm putting a poster and saying I'm being Catholic, threatening people and making them feel unsafe, that's not Catholic. I never tried to do any of that. And if people thought I did, I mean, that's just, it's a misunderstanding. I have mild autism, and that just, it kind of happens, but this is just a lot, really. I mean, it's just, I don't even, like, it's hard for me to even think and feel about how people could have this point of view. It's hard for me to put myself in their shoes, and that's not for lack of trying. I don't get really any of this, why it's such a big deal. I think it's just all... I mean, I'd much rather, you know, be having reasonable discussions about the posters and, you know, evangelizing and going to class, but instead I'm, you know, being dragged into stuff like this. And it's just... I'm exhausted from it. Physically, emotionally, mentally, just everything. I'm exhausted.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I have no other questions. I have a question for you, but I don't think that it's related to deliberation as opposed to...
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think we should ask it for everybody else.
Okay.
Thank
you.
All right. Well, then, so Skylar, that concludes the hearing then. They're going to go into closed session to make their decision, right. And then if you're found responsible, then, like I said before, I'll shed any light if there's any to shed on any previous sanctions that have been put on by the college so they can consider those in sanctioning but not in decisions. And then I will send you a letter before the close of business tomorrow so you know what the decision is. And then I'll also make sure I include in that the appeal information again, just so you're clear on who to send it to and by when. And,
All right.
So that you can...
Do you have any word on, like, any kind of thing on when... Like, how soon maybe the equal opportunity thing might happen?
It's all Renee McMahon. So I think she said she was scheduling it for next week, but right. I'm not 100% sure.
I was hoping you had heard something, because I haven't really.
I want to thank the complainants as well, Skylar and his mom, for being here.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for your time.
All right.